This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is a regular meeting of the PNB for Thursday, January 4th, 2024. It is 8:36 p.m. on the East Coast, and I do believe we have quorum. Nancy, would you like to call the roll? And could those who are not speaking mute themselves? Just to make sure we don't have background noise. Thanks. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, one second.
Teresa, we're hearing noise from you.
Well, I'm waiting for my name to be called so I can check in.
Oh, right. You're number one. Alphanumerically speaking.
Okay, here we go. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Allen, present. Adriana Casanave.
Present.
James Dingman.
Here.
Dingman, present. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Dixon Briggs, present. Fred Dodsworth.
Here, and Happy New Year to all of you.
Dodsworth, present. Happy New Year. William Foster.
Here.
Foster, present. Jan Goodman.
I am present.
Goodman, present. Good. Sue Goodwin. Heather Gray.
Here.
Gray, present. Donna Grimes. I will come back to you. Julie Hewitt.
I am here.
Valia Jones.
Valia is muted.
Oh, dear. A happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year.
Present.
Jones, present.
Yes.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Excellent.
James McFadden.
Well, McFadden said he'd probably be about half an hour late.
And Nancy, you're so almost muted. You're so quiet, I can barely hear you.
Sure. Is that better?
No.
No? Okay, I'll speak louder.
That's a little better. Thank you.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Pagano, present. Myla Reason.
I'm here. Happy New Year, everybody.
Reason, present. New Year. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Rhodes, present. James Sagerton.
Here.
Sagerton, present. Sharon Salam. Let's see here. Is she here? I don't see her up on there at the moment. I'm back. Aki Tanaka.
I'm here.
Tanaka, present. Thank you. Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Here.
Van Gunten, present. Egberto Willis. Come back to you. Sue Goodwin. Donna Grimes. James McFadden. Sharon Salam. Egberto Willis, waiting on those. 17, present.
Alberto said he might be late.
Do you want to call the others, Nancy?
Nancy, you're muted.
Sue Goodwin?
No, I meant Stephanie.
Arthur.
Sorry. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you. Nancy Ford and I am here. Arthur Schwartz.
Okay. I'm not sure I expect him till the closed session.
Okay, 17 directors are present.
All right, so we have quorum. Thank you, Nancy. So the next item on the agenda is reading the report out. I do believe I did read a report out at December 21st meeting for the December 7th meeting, but I think I got the wrong report out, so I'm going to read it again, and then that way I'm sure I did it correctly. The PMB met in closed session. This is the report out from December 7th executive session. PMB met in closed session to discuss confidential personnel matters, including evaluations. Okay, now I'll turn to the report out from the December 21st, 2023 meeting, the executive session there, and that report out is the PNB met in closed session to discuss several confidential contractual matters and their financial and legal implications for Pacifica. Next item on the agenda is excused absences. Nancy, could you just remind us who's not present at the moment?
Sue Goodwin, Donna Grimes, James McFadden, Sharon Salam, Egberto Willis.
I move to excuse those absences.
Thank you.
This is
my second.
Second.
Also,
yeah, thank you, Marianne.
Second.
Yep. Any discussion of the motion to excuse those absences? Hearing none, are there any objections to excusing the absences just noted? Hearing no objections, we'll consider those absences excused. Next up is timekeepers. I need someone to keep track of time for people. Can I get a volunteer?
Request for information.
Sure, go ahead, Myla.
It seemed that I attempted to do that last time, but then when I actually tried to call time, it was not appreciated, so I'm not, I don't know if I want to step up again.
I'll call time on people, because I don't mind being yelled at.
Okay.
Thank you, Fred. Is there someone willing to be the timekeeper for items?
Computer problems on my end. I can't pay attention to it, so sorry.
Thanks, Darlene. Someone else? Someone, please.
How about someone who hasn't done it in a whole year?
I can try. I'll try to do it.
Thank you, Teresa. I'll try to remind you every time we switch to a new agenda item how long we have for that item.
Okay.
All right.
Point of information?
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
As a person keeping track of people's time, in reading Robert's Rules, I discovered that we are only allowed to speak twice on any particular motion. The first time for 90 seconds, the second time for 60 seconds. Is that how we're going to run the show?
Yes, that sounds good to me. The only issue there will be, me remembering not to call on people who've spoken twice already.
I'll remind you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. The next item on the agenda is, agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. And that's a 5-minute item, Teresa. So I'll read quickly through, what the agenda items are. Item number 3 is approving minutes of open sessions. Nancy sent some. I'll forward those in just a moment to the people who didn't get them. Item number 4 is committee reports, and it's A through J, audit coordinating, finance, governance, elections, programming, strategic planning, personnel, development task force, and technology task force. Item five, and each of those gets varying amounts of time, which is largely based on the amount of whether I had a written report from that committee in advance. So we may need to adjust the times there. But item five is an affiliates report, if Heather and Foster and Bill have anything to report from the affiliates. Item six is meeting schedule and seating the 2024 PNB. Item seven is the executive director. Well, it should say report and Q&A. Item eight is unfinished business. We have two things that are holding over. Item nine is new business, of which I'm not sure whether there will be any or not. And then item 10 is moving into executive session at a time certain of 10:30 p.m. So I'll move the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Fred. Discussion of the agenda.
Nancy here.
Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add the date. Minutes to be approved is the December 7th open session minute.
Thank you.
Point of information, may I be recognized? And I was for the SAC. Also, I didn't,
go ahead.
I couldn't hear Nancy clearly. I don't know what you said about the December 7th minutes. And my question for the SAC, about the agenda has to do with, I was wondering at the last meeting, you said that we would be having a discussion about getting all of our minutes in order at this meeting, and I don't see that on the agenda. We ran out of time last time.
Okay, so thank you, Myla. I don't specifically remember saying that it would be at the meeting. I think one of the things that we need to do is, and this is really sort of part of what I had expected to cover as item six, which is the meeting schedule and seating the 2024 PNB, is talking about meetings for the rest of January and what's what. And so the meeting minutes will come up there. Also, I think, you know, what we need to do isn't spend a whole lot of time talking about it as a committee of the whole here. That what we need to do is, you know, figure out what minutes haven't been posted. And then, you know, Nancy has drafted minutes for many of those meetings, and we have approved them, and we just haven't gotten them posted. And there's some details around how they can be posted. And we just need to, that's like logistic work, that it is a waste of the meeting time of 22 people to try and wrap our brains around. I mean, I appreciate the point that it needs to be done, but I'm not sure, you know, how fruitful it will be to have a discussion at this meeting about that, other than I certainly will appreciate, you know, any and all volunteers. And the other thing that's true about meeting minutes is it's not just for the PNB, it's for all the committees as well. And so we're going to want to make sure that, you know, so while I said a moment ago that we might need volunteers, we may need volunteers to help some of the committees get their minutes in order and posted, et cetera. So, McFadden, I see your hand, and part of it is probably that you're just trying to say you're here now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay. Did you have a point on the, we're on agenda approval. Okay. So I answered Myla's question. Any other discussion of the agenda? Are there any objections to approving the agenda? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved. And so then the next item up is, Teresa, this is a 5-minute item. And the next item is approving minutes of open sessions. And Nancy sent them out earlier, and I'll forward them to Jan and Myla in just a second. But they are the minutes of the December 7th meeting. Nancy, do you want to go ahead and, or do you want to say anything about those before we?
No, you don't. I don't need to say anything. Just they're ready for being approved.
Gotcha. Is there, okay, I'll move that we approve the minutes of the December 7th open session.
Seconded.
Thank you, Fred. Is there any discussion of the minutes or? And I've just sent them to Jan and Myla, so now you have them. All right, hearing no discussion of the minutes. Let me see if there are any objections to approving the minutes as submitted by Nancy. Hearing no objections, we'll consider those minutes approved. Thank you, everyone. Now I have to move to the, okay. So the next agenda item, is the committee reports and, so I'll go through them, you know, calling them one at a time. What I did was I gave committees less time if they hadn't submitted a written report, more time if they had. Since I've sent the agenda out, a couple more committees have submitted written reports, and so we may need to adjust some of these times. So let's just get going with the committee reports. And so starting with, and the way we go through this is we start first with the four standing committees of the PMB. So the first one is the audit committee, and I have that for a 3-minute item, and Aki given a report for Susan Young, who's the chair of that committee, and I'm not sure there's anything to report, but Aki, I'll give you the floor.
You know, I'm not on the audit committee.
Oh. Is there someone else who's on the audit committee? Sorry about that, Aki, I thought you were. All right, well, there surely is someone else who's on the audit committee, but is there anyone who's willing to speak for a moment for the audit committee? All right, we'll move on then. The second one is the coordinating committee, and Teresa, this is a 5-minute item. Nancy, would you like to give a report from the coordinating committee?
Sure. The coordinating committee was held last Thursday. 2 people attended. It was not enough for quorum, so we canceled the meeting.
Okay. Any questions for Nancy and the coordinating committee? All right.
Just a point of personal privilege. It's very difficult to hear Nancy. And when I turn the volume way up, then when you come on after her, it's really, really super loud. So it makes it problematic. If Nancy, if you could just try to speak up, it would be helpful.
I must be something wrong with my speakers. Is that any better?
That last bit was better.
Okay. Maybe it was how I had my computer positioned. Is that better now?
Yeah, yes. That is better. Myla, is that better for you too?
Myla's muted.
Sorry, yeah, better. I was away from turning my mic back on. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So next up was the finance committee, and this is a 5-minute item. Sagerton, would you like to report for the finance committee?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll just say that the Finance Committee last met on Tuesday, the 2nd of December. We'll be meeting again on Tuesday, the 9th of December, and Tuesday, the 23rd of December. We may have another meeting on the 17th of December. We're meeting weekly to try and finish up some pending business of getting some budgets approved And I do not yet have a written report, and I hope to submit that at the next P&D meeting. And that's all.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Sagerton. So you said December when you said all those dates, and I think some of those were actually January dates.
They're all January dates. That's right.
Well, sorry, there you go.
And what, yes. What year is this again? I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. No worries. Myla, you had a question?
Muted.
You're muted.
Thanks. I do have a question, and I'm wondering, has the Finance Committee looked at the overall cost of the 2023 delegates election? Is that an item that has been calculated at all by the Finance Committee or looked at?
No, I believe the Executive Director has done that.
So you don't have that number?
No.
Numbers, okay.
Not at the top of my head, no.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions for, Teresa, go ahead.
Chair, I do recall that the number that was reported, I believe, was $77,000, maybe $77,500. It was in that neighborhood. It was initially budgeted at $75,000, but which is half of what an election had cost previously. But I think we had some overruns with regard to some an extension that occurred during the election. But what the exact cost is and whether there were any incidental costs, I don't know that.
I can answer that if you'd like, Julie.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Yeah, the election report and the budget for the election, I believe, was attached to the last ED report. And it's also in the final report from the National Election Supervisor. The projected cost for the elections was $72,400. And the actual cost was $58,790.
Oh, and so part of that, I think, was, we knew that we made a very hard push to make sure that we made quorum at all of the units by quorum on the vote, that we made quorum by September 30th so that we would not incur additional charges. And I suspect that was part of what was in the projected budget that we wound up saving by the time that the election was over. And I will just note that Sue Goodwin has joined us. Sue, if you'd like to just acknowledge your presence.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry I'm late. Something interfered, but here I am.
Thank you. Awesome. And I just wanted to, because I'm not sure whether I said this part, I just wanted to thank again all the folks who helped with that push to get us to quorum in the waning days of the election period, because as you can see, it helped possibly save us, something on the order of $14,000. Teresa, do you still have a question?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead.
My question is to James Sagerton. When did we return the KPFA budget to them? I guess because they had budgeted for a certain percentage of monies to the national office, and it was different than what the Finance Committee had designated. When did we return that budget to them?
The NFC did not return the budget to them. I believe they just went into the conversations with the Executive Director about it, and they have not yet resubmitted, or they have not yet submitted it. We don't have a copy.
Oh, they didn't submit it to the Finance Committee?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Sagerton and the Finance Committee? All right. That brings us to the Governance Committee, which is a 5-minute item. Beth von Guten.
Thank you. Everyone has all of this in writing by email, so you can follow along if you'd like. I'll start with a very brief regular monthly report leading into a preliminary annual report. So the Pacifica National Governance Committee regular monthly meeting of Wednesday, December 17th did not make quorum. Therefore, a continuation meeting is called for January 3, 2024, but also lacked quorum, impeding the work of the committee. The Bylaws Review Subcommittee meets next on January 11th, 2024 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacifica Time. Next regular monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Governance Committee is Wednesday, January 24 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. And moving then to a preliminary annual report, the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee has historically met regularly on the last Wednesday of each month, the fourth Wednesday of each month. I'm making that correction now. Given the extensive annual disruption in committee work in the turnover from one PNB to the next, it was June 2023 before the Governance Committee was able to elect a chair, making July the first meeting in which a substantive agenda could be undertaken. As chair, my initial effort to organize our work I'm getting a lot of electronic interference.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. So as chair, my initial effort to organize our work was to post regular monthly meetings to KPFTX throughout the rest of this term to secure the time slot and so that members of the committee and the public could plan around a reliable schedule. Despite that effort, the committee has since fallen short of quorum repeatedly, largely because other Pacifica meetings, often with overlapping membership, were knowingly booked in direct conflict with our previously posted Governance Committee meetings. That impedes continuity and progress on efforts in both conflicted meetings. To prevent such self-defeating wastes of time and the frustration it breeds, meeting schedules would have to be better managed at the national level with a few basic ground rules to avoid committees canceling each other out this way. A final annual report from the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee to the PNB will be provided following the committee's final meeting of this term on January 24th. Thank you.
Sorry, thanks. I see Myla's hand. Go ahead, Myla.
Oh, thank you. I am Johnny One Note, so to speak, on this particular issue. I have been volunteering, just trying to look and see who has posted minutes and who has not. And the last time I checked, which was not long ago, I noticed that there were no minutes posted for the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee for 2023 for those meetings that were not canceled. I'd like to know whether any minutes have been posted since I last checked, which was not long ago, and when we can expect to see minutes posted for the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee.
May I respond?
Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, we have minutes for all of those draft minutes. It's what we were trying to do in this most recent meeting was to approve the minutes that have gotten have piled up because of the discontinuity in meetings. So at this point, I'm prepared to post draft minutes so that people can see that there are minutes pending approval of those minutes, hopefully yet this year. But it's not as if we haven't tried. I mean, that was the only item left on this continued meeting last Wednesday, yesterday, and we didn't get quorum. And so we'll continue to try. I will, at this point, unless there's something to forbid it, I will post the draft minutes so that people can see that there are minutes, and it'll be up to the committee to get itself together with a quorum to be able to pass those minutes. Thank you.
Thanks. I mean, Beth, I think that's a perfectly reasonable approach. I mean, I don't know what my colleagues feel, but after all, you have to start with a set of draft minutes before anybody can make any corrections to them. And since one of the things that we do is, or that's always the case, is that, you know, we approve, even when we approve minutes, it doesn't mean that they can never be changed after that. If someone comes back and says, oh, you know, here's this correction that I think need to be made to those minutes, you know, we can take that up again. And so in that sense, you know, it's not like, while minutes approval is important, it's not like it's sacrosanct that you can't put minutes up if they haven't been approved. So, you know, anyway, it's better to approve them than to not, but it's better to have minutes, even if they're draft, than to have no minutes at all. So, so hopefully the governance committee will make quorum, and it won't be an issue because you'll get to approve them, but you know, go ahead.
If I may, just for the record, state that the minutes have been sent ahead of meetings to members of the meetings for their review. If we just haven't, we've been really frustrated trying to get this through. So, and when I post them as draft minutes to KPFTX, they will be clearly marked as draft. Once we get them approved, I'll replace the draft with the approved, indicating that they are approved for the record. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Adriana, is your you have a question for Beth? Go ahead.
Yes, I was trying before you explained it. I was trying to say exactly that. Robert Rule of Orders doesn't say that need to be approved. I believe that we should, but basically, yes, it's better to put the draft minutes. It's not an excuse not to have the minute there for people to know what's going on. And like you said, doesn't matter when, even if they are approved, the minutes can always be changed if we found that something is incorrect. Yes. Thank you, Beth, because at least till now you were the one that gave a report of the whole year. And I was thinking that that's what we will do, but I hope that we have that for the next meeting from all the committees.
Thank you. Madam Chair, time on this item.
Got it. Thanks. I'm going to thank you, Teresa. I'm going to go back to the audit committee because I have just received a report from the audit committee, which says the audit committee met once and authorized the engagement of the auditor that had done the audit in 2022. The audit committee did not meet again because there was no funding available to engage the auditor. So that's the report from the audit committee. I think that's fairly self-explanatory. If you have questions, I'm not sure whether I would be able to answer them beyond that. Adriana, is your hand up again or still?
Yes, my hand is up.
Go ahead.
I want to know, first of all, who are the members of the audit committee? And second of all, doesn't matter if you have funds or not, it's an obligation. And the audit committee does not only engage in that, in the hiring or the recommendation of the hiring of the new, the auditors that have a lot of work to do. And I think that it's not being even done because the committee didn't meet. I mean, we need to be careful next year who you will select to the committee to be sure that the committee is met.
Thank you.
Who was the chair of the convener?
So hang on. So I, you know,
Madam Chair,
I thought I was really smart and that I would find the list of who's on the committee quickly, but I can't find it really quickly and run the meeting at the same time. So, I'll see if I can't get that and let people know, but it will require me having a break for a moment. Myla, you had a question?
Yeah, my question is, isn't that information available on KPFTX?
It is.
Any members? I'll be happy to look for it for you, Julie.
No, the chair. No, who's the convener of the chair? No.
And
Susan Young.
we're getting a lot of extraneous noise from people who don't have, who are not muted.
Thank you, Milo. I got it. I believe it was Beth who answered the question and said Susan Young. Susan Young was the chair of the committee, I do believe. I don't recall whether Susan was also the convener or not. It was probably someone else because Susan's not a director this year. And I think I asked people who were directors to be conveners of the meeting. So, but if Susan Young was the chair, that's the answer there. Mila, is your hand up again? Or I can't remember. I'm sorry. Beth, is your hand up?
It was, but that's a legacy hand now. Okay. Never mind.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So then, moving on to, the next committee, that's the elections committee, and I gave them a 10-minute, report out. Aki, is the chair of the elections committee, and he sent a written report, which I attached, to the email that I sent around. Aki, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. What the election committee did the last meeting is we're trying to tie up all of the recommendations that the members of the elections committee came up with. So the report I sent out, the first part shows what the elections committee did pre, during, and post-election this year. And then the second part has the summary of the recommendations, you know, improvements that we should work on for the next election cycle. So hopefully that report will be helpful for the elections committee meeting in 2024. And then the third item is that the motion that the PND passed about the three-year terms for the delegates running in 2023, I think that the PND should look at that motion again. It was a two-year term that they voted on. They should reconsider the three-year term because of the fact that by going through a three-year term, we'll save 1 year worth of election costs for 2025. So anyway, it's worthwhile to look at that motion again. Anyway, that's the report.
Thanks, Aki. Before I turn to people asking Aki questions, I'll just note that it appears that Sharon Salam has joined us. Sharon, do you want to acknowledge your presence?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Yeah, they hear me, but they didn't hear me before.
Did you get that, Nancy?
I'm present. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Myla, I see your hand. You're muted.
Okay, it takes me a minute to unmute, a few seconds. I don't need to be. At any rate, I just wanted to answer, according to KPFTX, Darlene Pagano was the convener of the audit committee for this past year, and the members of the committee were Mike Bresler, Sarah Brown, Chris Corey, James Dingman, Sue Goodwin, Wally James, Zach Caldvier, Ali Lexa Al-Hilali, Catherine O'Sullivan, Darlene Pagano, who was the convener, Marilyn Voigt Downey, Egberto Willis, and Susan Young.
I think that list is 2 years old, Myla.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, we'll thank you. I will.
Sorry, which
we'll go back and look at minutes and see what we came up with and election results and get that fixed. All right.
What committee was that?
That was supposedly the audit committee for 2023.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So any other questions for Aki on the elections committee report? Adriana, I see your hand. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm asking something about the audit. You told us that they meet once. Can you tell us when they meet to select a new?
Are we talking about elections or audits? This is the election committee time.
Thank you, Fred. I'm talking to the chair.
Yeah.
I'm keeping time.
Hang on. Let me try and answer Adriana's question. The point is that I read to you the written report that I have from the audit committee. It doesn't list the date. And I am sure that the meeting is listed on kpftx.org. So, you could look it up there. I want to go back to, questions for, Aki and the elections committee report. Sagerton, I see your hand. Go ahead. You're muted if you're
Thank
speaking.
You,
yep. Go ahead.
I had to switch back to my phone. I wanted to ask Aki. I was in attendance, as he knows, at that last elections committee meeting, where apparently his notes are from, on the report that he just gave. And as I recall it, the opinion about changing from the 2-year terms that was previously decided by the PNB to 3-year terms was vigorously discussed in the committee. The committee didn't come to any conclusion. So I want Aki to please specify whether that was his personal opinion or was that something that the committee voted on about reviewing that question again.
Well, very personal.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Other questions for Aki? Aki, did you want to also talk about the motion that the elections committee passed last night that I think was something you wanted the PNB to consider?
Let's see.
I posted the motions that the elections committee, they're in the, appendix to the agenda.
Yeah.
I forgot to write C appendix, which is my normal practice. Sorry.
Well, let's bring it up, but I don't, when the business address.
So the first motion was that the elections committee recommends that the ED post and seek proposals for the job of NES using the schedule of activities in the budget from 2023 for the posting.
Right.
Violet just posted those to the chat.
So that's a motion that the elections committee passed. Aki, do you want to motivate that so we can decide whether the PNB would like to pass this motion?
Well, I think it's just a standard non-controversial motion to get the action going on the 2024 election. So I don't think there's too much of a issue here. So
yeah. Do people think that there is a need for the PNB to act on this or pass a motion? Okay, now I see a couple of hands. Myla, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to second the motion. I fully support it. I think that it is simple and non-controversial and that we should be directing the executive director to post that job opening.
Got it. Great. So one thing is, because it's a motion that was already passed by a committee, it doesn't need a second here at the PNB. But we'll just keep going.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Adriana.
I see in the chat a motion that said 4E and then a second one that said the election committee recommends. It's like two parts. Which one are we talking about? Is one or two?
It's two separate motions.
Oh, okay.
And so the first part is one motion. The second part is a separate motion. Okay. So we're only talking about that first motion at the moment. So, Sagerton, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. I was in attendance at the elections committee and there was some discussion. And I guess part of it was from me about the using the same schedule and the same budget. I mean, I guess the budget part I'm okay with if we can get the similar services. However, I will note that the election company that we used was only able to provide us with five runners up for the election. If we ever need more than five, we're going to have a difficult time figuring out who the next runner up would be. And then there was also a question about the timeline. The bylaws say, I believe it's the bylaws say that you want to hire an election supervisor in March. I think perhaps some of the savings that we achieved was because we didn't hire an election supervisor in March. We hired it quite a bit later, but that then ran into some problems in the election, especially with people getting themselves nominated and the whole nominator system being confusing to people. That's something that we could deal with at another time. But I wonder if we're going to try to follow the bylaws March deadline for hiring an election supervisor, or do we want to try and address that and maybe change that with the bylaws amendment? And, or do we want to use the same schedule, which as I recall, we got the election supervisor quite late and it caused the election to be truncated and that caused some difficulties. So
your time is up.
Thanks, Sagerton. Do you have a response, or I don't know whether the elections committee talked about those particular issues?
No, I don't think so. I think it's something that PNB can discuss, you know, as Jane says, I think it probably needs more discussion.
Okay. I mean, one of the things we can do is, you know, include that possibly as things for the 2024 PNB to consider as they stand up committees, right? Because although it may be difficult for some to believe, the elections committee is not a standing committee of the PNB. And so, so that means for the 2024 PNB to have an elections committee, they would have to pass a motion to stand that committee up. And so it's useful for the 2023 PNB to tell the 2024 PNB, hey, here's some things we think you ought to, you know, consider as you think about the charge that you want to give to these various committees. And certainly we don't have to have unanimity on or pass a motion to say, or that we all agree what the charge should be for next year, because the 2024 PNB would have to pass it anyway. So I see Beth's hand. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I was in attendance at the Elections Committee last night, too. And for most of this year, I've followed this issue closely. The more I think about it, the more I think it is appropriate for the PNB to weigh in on this at this point, to make it clear to management and the membership as a whole and the public and possibly even the courts that elections are a priority and that this is to be prioritized when we have to. Inevitably, we're going to have to make hard choices about financial resources in the coming year, because this is Pacifica. And I think it's important that we go on record now as the PNB that we prioritize this issue, and we should be doing everything we can now to get our ducks in a row so that come March we can hit the ground running. So I endorse this. Thank you.
Thanks. Teresa, go ahead.
Time is up.
Oh, and thank you. So
need to extend. And there's another item on elections that I do need to bring up. I move that we extend for 10 minutes.
Second from Myla.
Thank you, Myla. Any discussion of the motion to extend for 10 minutes? Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to the motion to extend for 10 minutes?
Yes, but I'm not going to force a vote.
Thank you. Any other objections? All right, hearing no other objections, we will consider the motion to extend for 10 passed. So, Teresa, go ahead.
Orders of the day. May I be recognized?
Well,
Aren't we considering one motion? So why are we moving to another motion? Shouldn't we be making a decision on the motion that's on the table?
Yes, we should. But in the course of talking about that, other people took us in other directions and then time was up. So the point is we needed an extension to continue. So, yes, we do have what we have on the floor is the motion that the Elections Committee passed, which says the Elections Committee recommends that the ED post and seek proposals for the job of the NES using the schedule of activities and the budget from the 2023 posting.
I'd like to call the question.
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections to calling the question? Hearing no objections.
Yes, I object.
Okay. Are there other objections to calling the question? In other words, do I have to go to a roll call vote or? All right. I'm not hearing that there are other objections.
I'm sorry. I couldn't unmute.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, then let's
Go to a roll call vote, Nancy, and this is on calling the question on the Elections Committee motion.
Are we talking about the first motion, right, Madam Chair?
Yes. We're
talking about calling the question on the first motion. That's what this vote is.
A junior band from baseball under the league, domestic violence policy.
Evelia, we're hearing your background.
Lisa?
Alan says yes.
Thank you, Alan, yes. Adriana Campanade?
Yes.
Campanade?
No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Dodsworth?
Yes.
William Foster?
No.
Foster, no. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Goodman, yes. Sue Goodwin?
Yes.
Goodman, yes. Heather Gray?
Abstain.
Gray abstains. Donna Grime here yet? I'm trying to be better. Amelia Jones.
Yes.
Yes. Mariana Martinez.
Yes.
Yes. James McFadden.
No.
McFadden, no. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Isla Reason.
Yes.
Sean Rhodes.
No.
Rhodes, no. James Sagerton.
No.
Roan, can't hear you.
Nancy, I can't hear you calling the roll.
Jerome, can you hear me now?
Slightly.
Jerome Salam?
No.
Salam, no. Thank you. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Tanaka, yes. Thank you. Elizabeth Von Gunten?
No.
Von Gunten, no. Thank you. Egberto Willis? Can't hear you. Adriana Casanave? You pass? No. Sorry? Couldn't hear you?
I say no.
Thank you. Casanave, no. Grimes, Egberto Willis, nine yes, nine no, one abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Wait, do I ever?
Okay.
I'm going to go with yes.
Hewitt, yes. Ten yes, nine no. Calling the question.
So that means the question is called, and so so then we're going straight to a vote on the motion, which now would technically say the PNB recommends that the ED post and seek proposals for the job of NES using the schedule of activities in the budget from the 2023 posting for the 2023 for the posting. Sorry. Are there any?
Will the chair entertain a question or an inquiry?
Sure.
Does the schedule of activities mean a marked higher?
That's what the bylaws say.
Does it contemplate the election gearing up, I think, in June, the way it did last time?
That's actually a better question for Aki. Do you know what the election committee meant by schedule of activities? What's in the bylaws, or?
Well, I believe that it's probably going to be according to the bylaws.
Sagerton, would you like to, you can't do that at this point because we called the question.
Yep. And I don't think we even get to discuss it.
Yeah, technically we don't.
This vote.
But I think that was a fair question to ask from the standpoint of like helping people figure out how they want to vote on this motion.
Also remember that PNB can weigh in on the schedule and all that as the year goes on. So
that's correct. I think seriously, folks, the sentiment of the elections committee was let's get going because we got going somewhat late last year and it turned out to be not ideal. So, okay. We've called the question on this. Are there any objections to the motion from the elections committee? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the motion from the elections committee passed. Okay.
Point of information?
Yes, Beth.
Was that a vote on one motion, the first motion about the posting the notice for the NES job, or did that include the second motion also? Because I understood it just to be the first.
It was just the first.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, and so Teresa had extended for 10 minutes, of which we've eaten up a bunch. So what I want to do next is, although voting doesn't count against that, technically the next item would be, Aki, do you want to talk about the second motion from the elections committee last night?
The second motion doesn't have to do with the PNB. It's still action within the election committee, so it doesn't have to be considered by the PNB. It's action, you know, that's going to be taken within the members of the election committee.
I think that's correct. Thank you, Aki. I mean, and I'll just read it for people so everybody knows. The second motion that the elections committee passed was the elections committee recommends that comments that any members of the elections committee wish to provide to the ED regarding the performance of the national election supervisor in 2023 be sent directly to the executive director on a confidential basis.
Seconded.
So, well, we don't need a second. And as Aki just explained, it's an elections committee motion that regards members of the election committee. So I'm not clear that there's that there's even, that the PMB even needs to take any action. This is just an awareness thing that this is a motion that the Elections Committee passed.
Right.
Thank you. Teresa, I see your hand up.
Yes. We are at time. But there is something, so could I ask for an extension of another 5 minutes?
If you make a motion to that effect and someone seconds it.
5 minutes.
Why?
Okay, well, this is the deal. There's something that's come up at KPFT regarding a nomination, and I'd like some clarification by the PNB so we don't have problems.
Yeah, sure.
I second the motion for 5 minutes. This is Myla.
Thank you, Myla. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes?
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Are we talking about the election and the election committee, or Teresa is bringing something different?
I think
that I have an idea what she's trying to bring, but it's not election committee.
Committee. Teresa, could we just do it under new business?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I do see a couple of other hands. Segerton, Nancy, and Adriana. Pardon?
Did we add the 5 minutes?
No, we didn't vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. We did not.
I moved the agenda.
Hang on, Fred. I didn't recognize you. What I was about to say was, there were three hands up still. We didn't, extend for 5 minutes. But that motion, the body owns it, so I can't ask Teresa if she's willing to take it back at this point. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5?
Yes.
Are there going to be multiple?
Point of order.
What rule is being broken, Beth?
I think that Adriana hit the nail on the head when she said that this isn't what the agenda item right now is, committee reports. And this is not an item from the Elections Committee.
Beth, that's true. And I convinced Teresa to let it go until new items. There's still a motion on the floor to extend. You can vote no if you don't want to extend. There's no rule being broken here. So I'm ruling your point of order, out of order or whatever you do. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Nancy, can we go to a vote?
Point of information.
Hang on. The way to do this without going to a vote, there's a way to do it, which is, somebody could make an amendment. And the amendment could be something like,
point of information.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Do we even need to extend time if these three people are legacy hands or have things that don't relate to this item?
Well, there were three and two hands went down. So there's one hand up still. I don't know the answer to that. But the point is the motion was put on the floor to extend for 5 and then it was seconded. So it's not my choice to get rid of it. We have to, as a body, decide that we want to get rid of it. Right. And so then the question is, would someone like to make a motion to amend to say that the motion to extend should be, postponed until we get to new business on the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Fred and Sagerton. Are there any objections?
Point of information before my late chair.
Go ahead, Adriana.
I believe that we have we were with the second motion of the election committee. And that's why we were trying to talk about the second motion from the election committee. I have nothing to do with all of this. That is the second motion that we have on the floor.
Yeah, thank you. The second motion is not technically on the floor. The elections committee passed a motion regarding members of the elections committee. There's nothing that the PNB has to do. They don't need special permission to pass a motion, regarding what their own members may do. And so there's no action for the PNB to take here. So, we decided that before Teresa, asked for the motion to extend, and then somebody said why, and Teresa said why, and then we decided, well, no, that's not part of the elections committee. That really belongs in new business. And so we've agreed to move that to new business. And so there's no motion on the floor. Aki reported on the second motion that the elections committee passed, but it was simply for situational awareness so people knew that's what the elections committee did. And I would argue that means that anybody else who wasn't on the elections committee, who may have feedback that they would want to give to Stephanie on the national election supervisor, should certainly feel free to do the same thing themselves. Where we are now, what was I doing?
I was
asking if there were any objections
to the amendment to the motion.
Correct. To the amendment to the motion, which is to move, which was to postpone the motion to extend for 5 minutes until we get to new business. Are there any objections to the motion to amend? Hearing no objections, the motion is amended. And so we have to vote on that main motion now, which as amended, which is that the 5 minute extension is postponed until we get to new business. Are there any objections to the main motion to postpone till we get to new business? Hearing no objections, we'll consider that done. That brings us to the next committee on the list, which is the programming committee. And Heather, I have 5 minutes Teresa, 5 minutes, but Heather, go ahead.
No, we'll be quick because we've not really had a meeting lately, but one of the things we want to do though, our plan was in January to have a national program actually on the war in Ukraine and Russia. And now it will be, I'm sure, Israel and Palestine or Gaza. So, we will be having a meeting soon, but our plan, just want to mention this to everyone, is to have a meeting with all of the program directors and all the Pacifica stations so that we can do this national program, including all of the Pacifica stations. So I'm going to ask if Jim or Sue Goodwin want to say anything. I see Jim has his hand up. Jim, would you go ahead?
Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Well, first of all, the motion is for several days of programming. And so the planning is well underway. It will be shared, in meetings down the road. For example, today I was trying to contact somebody at Harvard who's the director of the Center for Jewish Studies there. So there's a lot of activity going on in the past month and a half. And what I'm envisioning is, about 24 hours of programming that would be, covering the entire conflict from soup to nuts. And, we could figure out how to distribute it. But that's what I'm visioning and planning. I'm curious to hear what Sue has to say. But there's been a lot of interaction with people who are experts on this area, for the past several months.
Yeah. So we want to hear from Sue as well. Sue, do you want to add anything here?
No, I don't have anything to add at this point in time.
The thing is, we need to get this in functioning, I guess I should say. But we do want, I'm just mentioning this to all of the board members because we do want to have a meeting with all of the program directors, with all the Pacifica stations. So I, of course, will include some of the affiliate stations as well. So if anybody wants to make any comments, please go ahead.
I see a couple of hands raised, so we'll just go in order. Jan Goodman and Jim Dingman. Go ahead, Jan.
Are we discussing this in theory? Are we talking about like who would be good to be, you know, a host for it? For instance, Dennis Bernstein has been covering Israel and Gaza very intently for years and years and doing a, you know, a great job on that. Are we just talking about this kind of in abstract? And are we talking, so I'm just trying to get clarification.
Well, Jan, we have to do organizing on this. Thanks for your comments though. But our plan is to include as many folks within the Pacifica network as possible when we do this program.
I see. And who would be in charge of organizing it?
Well, the programming committee, but I'm not sure exactly. We've got to do a lot of work on this yet. Or if Jim or Sue want to mention anything here, please do so. Jim, do you want to say anything about that?
Well, first of all, we're not talking about doing something that we normally have done in the past. This issue, frankly, has, in my opinion, never been handled in any kind of sophisticated and in-depth way for the past 50 years. I think that's one of the problems in how Pacifica has handled it. And frankly, the more I've been dealing with all the universities and how they've been handling it, they also have not been doing a good job. So there's a lot to learn. I'm well aware of what Dennis has done. Dennis, of course, would be part of the equation. We're not talking about one person being Larry Bensky on this. I've been actually back on the air since the 7th doing a lot of shows on this. So I've been learning and getting a lot of contacts. But we're not talking about, we're talking about something that is equivalent to the Vietnam War teach-ins of 1965. And whenever I mention that to scholars, I'm also trying to concentrate on
personal privilege, please.
Let me finish my comment, please.
Let me actually ask a question that is important.
Finish my comment.
Hey, Julie, is Dingman?
Yeah, hang on. I'm sorry, I was muted. Hang on, Dingman. Let Fred ask me his question.
Because it's
about timing.
Speaking, yes. Is Dingman speaking as a member of the committee, or is he speaking the second time as a committee, as a question?
I think he's speaking as a member of the committee.
Okay. Yeah, I want to respond. He is talking about him as a member of the committee, Fred. So
thank you. So then I will stop timing him.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, right. Jim. Go ahead.
Anyway, you know, a lot of work has been put on this, and you know, I'm sure all the stations have been doing a lot of work on this, but I don't have to tell you this is a big minefield to deal with this issue, and I just spent all day long talking to people at Harvard about the Claudine Gay issue. So one is trying to approach this perhaps in new ways that we've not done in a long time. And I'm thinking about what we used to do with covering Watergate and Iran-Contra. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking.
Thanks, Jim. I want to hear from you. Well, go ahead, Sue.
Okay. The only thing I want to add is, you know, what you can hear is there's a lot of really good thought going into this, and I am convinced it'll turn into valuable programming, but I want to step back for a minute and think about exactly when it is broadcast. 24 hours of straight programming means, honestly, a lot of this won't get heard. So I just want to add that in, and I think that's something the programming committee can take up. Should we plan a week where we designate certain hours of that week as part of the, you know, I think everything should be on the table and we can quickly decide what is the best timing to present the programming.
Yeah. Well, let me just mention that, yes, we're still in the planning phase here. So any ideas other board members have, we look forward to hearing from you. So when we have our next meeting, I want to make sure we report to the entire board to get your intake as well. Thanks, Sue.
Let me just, Julie.
Yeah. quickly.
We just in New York, one of the things we did was we glommed together some of the shows that have been done about Edward Said, including one special that I did, and we raised about almost $9,000 off that show. So part of the question we're thinking about is, how do you actually monetize this effort? Or maybe we can gain access to foundations that can support this effort so that we can at least alleviate the cost. Because obviously doing something of that scale, if it's not properly thought out, given the precarity of the foundation, would be a problem in the sense that it would hurt different stations being able to sustain their own fundraising efforts. So that's another consideration to bring into the picture.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
You know, and I don't know if we have the capacity to do so, but certainly one thing to think about if we think about monetizing is, how do we turn it into a digital product so that people don't have to listen in real time, but they can find it well presented with nice graphics, the whole bit, and download it with, that includes pitching, et cetera. But that takes a lot of time. I don't know if we have the capacity, but it could be key.
All right, thanks. So Teresa's telling me that we're at time on this item.
Passed.
So let's...
So Julie, before we leave, I just want to thank everyone for your comments, and we look forward to hearing from you as we continue with this planning. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, no, you bet. So we'll move on to the next committee, which is the Strategic Planning Committee. And this is a 10-minute item, and they submitted a written report, which was which also included two strategic plans, which I forwarded with the agendas. Dingman, do you want to go ahead and give the Strategic Planning Committee report?
All right, I'll try to summarize 2 years in about 3 minutes. First of all, I want to thank Alex Steinberg, Chris Corey, and Lyndon Foley for the work they did previous to me coming on the committee. I also want to thank all the members of the committee for the past 2 years. The first year, we had a strategy that was we inherited, which was to get the underwriting motion underway, which eventually we did succeed in doing. And then now I think we've established that as official policy for the foundation. And the expectation is to perhaps bring in a good 3 to 5 to 6% of increased revenue for each station with underwriting. So, and in the case of New York, that's well underway through PSAs, through the local city and state agencies, but that can be duplicated in all sorts of ways. So that can be an additional revenue stream. The other revenue streams explored were the bond issuance, which did not get off the ground for a whole variety of reasons, and the NFT idea, which did not get off the ground due to, in part, lack of cooperation from one of the units. So hopefully in the future that won't happen again. Now, what you've gotten today are two strategic plans. One was issued by Stephanie, and it's a plan that, again, these are jump-off points to develop further ideas and implementation of strategic plans. The other one was predominantly done by myself. And again, these are first drafts. The importance of both of them is, I think, in the case of Stephanie's, it talks about a culture of cooperation, which is one of the problems. You know, there's no real serious, to some extent, culture of cooperation in Pacifica to the extent that we are all lovey-dovey and cooperative with each other. I wish it was like that, but it isn't. So that is one problem in implementing a strategic plan. There's no consensus as to what we should do. Secondly, the one that I submitted is based on literally my 30 years of looking at the metrics of the foundation and all the stations and putting it together. And the key takeaway from that is that my problem with how the board is concentrated on these issues for the past 30 years is that due to a whole bunch of circumstances, especially since the way the bylaws were implemented, were essentially a reaction to the 1992-95 efforts of the old board to implement a top-down strategic plan, we essentially have not looked in any serious way at how we have functioned for the past 30 years, and frankly, past 25 years in terms of where we are at this point. And I don't have to tell anybody that it is unacceptable to have the foundation from 2004 to the present lose 70% to 80% of its subscribers, which is what's the case. We have reduced it from 100,000 to 30,000. The market share of the stations, and I include the one in New York, is unacceptable. We start with WBAI at 0.1%, KPFK at 0.2% of the market. KPFT is grown. It's up to 0.4. There is a static growth in Berkeley. It's still about 3 to 4 percent of the market in the Bay Area. And the one station that is sort of the highest in this, in the whole network is 0.6 to 0.8. That is WPFW. But a strategic plan has to take in consideration the fact that we have to grow audience. Our main source of revenue right now is audience, and we have to get our audience numbers up, our weekly cumes up to at least 150,000 per station, and then start trying to get them up to 500,000, which is actually what they were about 30 years ago. We've just had an ongoing decline since the 1970s. It hasn't been turned around. The Strategic Planning Committee cooperated with the Programming Committee, particularly since this issue that just was discussed is looked on as a way for us to get out of our doldrums, if you will. We have a situation where it's very difficult to plan anything because we're constantly involved in one fiscal precarity crisis after the next. And people can read the documents. They're, as I say, rough drafts. They can be torn apart, ripped apart, discarded. They're only bases to start a discussion as to what to do. There'll be a meeting on Monday, this Monday coming at 8:30, where we will talk openly about both those strategic plans and strategic plans in general. But to think that they're a silver bullet when we basically have this structural weakness at station to station, and some stations are even more egregious than others in terms of their weakness structurally, is something that, you know, has to be addressed, and the boards moving forward have to take seriously the question of growing audience, making sure the content has a resonance with a mass audience. It is unacceptable to just go, and because I'm totally aware of all the different radio kind of research operations in action, which deal with audience share and all that. I'm very well aware of that. That stuff has to be ingrained in people, in the LSBs and in the PNB. And one of the reasons why I'm glad that we're going to finally get to data on the fundraising is that we can actually have an honest discussion about how we make most of our revenue, which is basically through our listeners. And we have to diversify that in order to survive. And finally, the CPB issue, the lessons we've learned from that, the question of the letter from 2013 has to be resolved. We have to figure out a way to get beyond this problem so that we can receive money from the feds again. And that's my summary of the past 2 years.
Thanks, Dingman. I see a couple of hands. Teresa? That's a legacy hand? Okay. Myla?
Thank you. I have a question about the underwriting, and specifically, we have now a few people, organizations that are interested, but they haven't been able to find any standard underwriting guidelines for Pacifica or for KPFK. And I'm wondering if part of the strategic plan has to do, has this, the committee produced guidelines for underwriting, standard guidelines that could be used throughout Pacifica. And is there a plan to instruct the stations and Pacifica as a whole to put something on all of the websites, including the Pacifica website and all the station websites, with standard underwriting guidelines for Pacifica.
So Myla, to answer your question, the PMB passed a motion on underwriting. I don't remember exactly when it was. Maybe it was in November, so it predates when you joined the PNB. We need to get that to you, just so you can see it, you know, as the first order of business, and then make it, you know, make sure that it is clear to everyone that it's on our website. That's a good suggestion. And I believe that the underwriting motion that we passed addresses a lot of the questions that you just asked. You know, in terms of policy, it was a pretty thorough motion that we passed. And, you know, it was based on a pilot program that we did, that we passed a year ago at some point and continued from there. So hopefully that answers your question.
So are you saying, Julie, that when I see those minutes, which have not been posted yet to KPFTX, that I will find answers to my questions?
Yes. And I will see what I can do in terms of getting it to you even before then, because I think the motion, let's not take meeting time to, but I'll try and get something to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let me just add to that. The motion was sent around to the entire network when it was passed. And plus the supporting documents that exist that talk about the tactics of doing this correctly. They've also been well known and sent around to everybody about 2 years ago. Actually, I sent them around several times. So, but they can be sent around again.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Beth, you see your hand?
Yeah. As a member of the Strategic Planning Committee for the last 3 years, I just have to say that the strategic plan that came from the executive director is now more than a year and a half old, going on 2 years old. And she herself has said that it needs to be updated before it's considered. It was never intended to be confidential, although this is the first time it's being made available to the public. And just for the record, while the Strategic Planning Committee has seen both of these documents before, we as a committee have never voted on them. So it's not, the committee is not promoting these strategic plans, just so we're clear. Thank you.
Thanks. Jan Goodman, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Time, Madam Chair.
Oh, Jan, if you have a burning question, you would have to make a motion, and what you might consider doing is making a motion to exhaust the stack of one, to extend the time.
I would like to make a motion to exhaust the stack of one.
Myla seconds.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack of one? Hearing none. Go ahead, Jan.
Hi. I was wondering, it wasn't clear to me what you were talking about getting to Myla, whether it was the copies of the strategic plans that Jim Dingman was talking about, which is what I'm interested in reading, what those strategic plans are. And, I'm also wondering if they include approaches to improving programming, and, you know, making, production values higher, anything like that, because those are, you know, programming is what we're selling. So it's not just, you know, underwriting. So that's my questions.
All right. Could I answer
hang on, Jim, I got it. So the first thing is what I promised to send Myla was the underwriting motion, right? Because that passed. So that's distinct from the strategic plan. Well, it's distinct from the strategic plans that Dingaman sent with as part of the strategic planning committee report. What I will say is I forwarded that to you and Myla separately. It's an attachment to the meeting agenda email that I sent to you. So you'll see the strategic planning committee stuff there. And I don't know off the top of my head the answer to the question about programming because it's been a little while since I looked at the strategic plan. So I will allow Dingaman to briefly answer that question.
That is the essence of those plans, and particularly the one I submitted. Programming is everything. So this issue has been discussed ad nauseum for 2 years, but that's the answer to that question.
Oh, good. Thank you. So I will.
So Dingaman, could you actually elaborate on like the production value component of that as well? Was that specifically part of it?
Well, I'll touch on that when we get to the tech task force. The production value issue, has been handled by the tech task force last year with a lot of programming, which I'll talk about when we get to that particular report. But, we have to do a lot to upgrade that because, there's discussion to, create, learning modules. I think Ursula's been talking about that similar to what the BBC or NPR does. And, that the whole question of sound art, sound aesthetics, raising the quality of programming and training, that's in that report that I did. And that's certainly what we've talked about for 2 years.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So that means we have completed the strategic planning committee report. And so next up is the personnel committee. And, I gave you, Teresa, this is a 5-minute item. Darlene sent the, report out, a little bit before the meeting, but Darlene, would you like to report for the personnel committee?
Sorry, Madam Chair, I have a question before. It's about this. It's exactly about this. Darlene sent something, but there is not the personnel committee. It said personnel committee, but I have there the minutes of the December 7th meeting. It's not there, the report.
Let me give the beginning of what I was going to say.
Darlene, talk, and then I'll look at the email.
Okay. I am the perfect example of why you should never let your formal work wait until the last 24 hours before you have to turn it in, because I've been working all day today on 2 imperfectly working computers. So I sent at 5:16 what I thought was what I had finally been able to write up. And if that is not true, if people tell me that's not exactly what was in that email, I will figure out a way to send it out to everybody all over again.
Yeah.
It's not there.
There's a file attached there.
All right, then I will make my report as if I had not already sent it in. So I'm not asking for 10 minutes, Julie, just the 5. In terms of creating the report from the personnel committee, half of it is a recap of what was done in 2023. And what we did was, conduct a system-wide, invitational or mandatory, group of people, to do an evaluation of the executive director. It was accomplished. The outcome of it was positive. Generally positive, and depending on what units or what class of respondents there were, it went from generally good to pretty darn good. So that was brought to the PNB 2 meetings ago, and the PNB accepted it along with the recommendation that the personnel committee had done. that says that Stephanie be asked to continue her employment with Pacifica for 24 months, and all that has happened. So that was what we accomplished. And then the second part would be what we hope to accomplish, or what we would recommend the next iteration of the committee to be. And this I wrote up, but I want to say it has only been discussion that keeps coming up in the PN, in the committee meetings. These motions have not been passed, but these are the areas in which we've been discussing. And one of, and I will go through them as quickly as possible. First, the personnel committee become a standing committee of the PNB. There are copies of the bylaws that list the personnel committee as a standing committee, but not the one that's posted on Pacifica Foundation, easy to find version. But so the idea is to make it a standing committee, because the second part is that the scope of the work of the committee be expanded. Right now, the committee's only charge is to run the annual performance evaluation of the executive director. There are many other aspects of our evaluation process that are in arrears, and one of them is the LSBs and their own evaluations of their general managers and their program managers. I'm suggesting, or we've talked about, the personnel committee become a resource to all the LSBs in being able to run their run those evaluations that is their responsibility to do. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to jump to my, for me, the main reason for doing that is that we don't have an HR department. We only had HR help during the time that NETA was on board. We don't even have a generalist, much less a department, a single generalist to help out with HR issues. The thing that needs to happen is that there is coaching for all of the units to do their evaluations in a way that does not contradict union contracts, labor law, HR generally accepted practices, the Pacifica bylaws, and any other professional and legal bodies that have bearing on such reviews. Documenting to avoid litigation should be the goal. And then again, in the face of not having an HR committee, I do not recommend personnel committee be thought of as that. Only the work of improving the staff evaluation process for all the units. So that's my report, and I'm so sorry you can't follow along, because I couldn't, I don't know, click on the right piece of information that I sent out to you all. But I will arm wrestle with these two items, two computers, until my Saturday delivery of my deliverance, I hope, and get it all out. So I will do this as quickly as possible. And I did in the report, I said, this is not the last word or even a motion of the personnel committee at this time. We are meeting on the 16th to do our final cleaning up our own business, and it'll be taken up there. Check.
Thank you, Darlene. Appreciate that. I see two hands.
Madam Chair.
Time. Sorry. Adriana, if you have a burning question to ask Darlene about the personnel committee, you would first need to make a motion to extend to exhaust the stack of two.
Yeah, it's only asking if they implemented the motion that we passed in the PMB respect of that evaluation. It's just that.
Yes.
You mean has Stephanie been told by this very late date that we want her to continue for the next 24 months?
No.
Okay.
The motion that we passed in the PMB with respect of people identifying, not being you the only one that can said what people said, identifying the people that made the comment.
One person asked for their code number and it was sent right to them. No one else has inquired. And I think that there should only be one person who can make that, give that information. Doesn't have to be me. Who knows, you know, where I wind up by the end of the month. But for the purposes of anonymity that many, many participants asked to be assured of, it has to be a closed loop. And people can, as you explained, people should be able to see how their review was treated in terms of ranking things. And that was done by giving them their code number. And as I said, only one person.
All right. Thank you, Darlene. We are out of time on this item, so we're going to move on to the next committee. This is a 3-minute item, and this is the Development Task Force. Beth?
Thank you.
Beth, if you're talking, you're muted.
Sorry, I was talking and I was muted. So, but I'm not now. So here I go. It's a briefer report than usual. You all have this in your email. I mailed it just before the meeting. The Pacifica National Development Task Force did not meet in December because its regular meeting date fell on Christmas Day. The next regular meeting of the Pacifica National Development Task Force will be Monday, January 22nd. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And just for the record, this is the first time since I began chairing a few years ago that we've actually not held a regular meeting, but Christmas seemed like a lot to contend with. So we'll pick up again in January. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Beth? Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I want to actually kind of support what Beth said about Christmas Day, because I was rather pissed off that we met on Solstice, which is a historic religious day for people all over the world, and I was not able to attend the first meeting. I have not been able to attend, and I really would appreciate it if in the future we kind of took those things into consideration. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Any other questions for Beth? If not, we'll move on to the Technology Task Force. Dingaman, this is a 5-minute item. Teresa?
All right, I'll summarize 2 years of work. The first year we concentrated on issues like YouTube, Zoom. We had people come in and talk about the history of FM radio. One person in particular was valuable, who came in and talked about the history of Spanish-speaking radio in America, because I've always been concerned over the issue of how the Spanish-speaking programs we have do not seem to create a large audience. And that was particularly valuable. I should add, my background is partly Cuban and Spanish. My family opened up the first Spanish nightclub in New York City in 1922. So I take that very seriously. how that resonates. And I think that we have to really, bear down and get more creative on reaching out to that element of the population in all the metro areas we're in. Having very low numbers listening doesn't cut it for me. We also had, somebody come and talk about podcast production the first year. She is a person who works on the daily at the New York Times. And to get people like that to come and work with us, I had to sort of get permission. You know, we weren't going to do this. We have to change the perception that some of the people in the straight media have about us. Also, we spent a lot of time doing workshops on the CPB issues. And one of the things I'd like to thank Ursula Rudenberg for is that in the midst of doing that, we discovered a general manager at the University of Mexico, National Public Radio Station there, Richard Town, and as Stephanie can attest to this, he was extremely helpful and is in the future willing to work with us to help us walk through CPB applications. So keep that in mind as we're applying this year. Again, I know we have all these problems. We have the audits. We have all these other things. But that is something to keep in mind that he will help us. Finally, the issue of precarity, of course, enters the picture. We did a workshop on HD radio, and it turned out it would cost about $20,000 for each station to transform itself to have extra channels. And we all know how difficult it is for some stations these days to do that. But, you know, that's where we're at. And you know, we'll do some more. People want to do more work on podcasting. And so, again, we have to get back to the point where Pacifica is a leader technologically, which it was, frankly, in the mid-60s with FM radio. And we're now at this point, you know, way, way behind. We're sort of a dinosaur when it comes to synthesizing all the new digital media's opportunities exist with our current analog radio. That's something that is a real problem, and with lack of resources, it's tough to deal with this issue. That's my report.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, regarding HD radio, I wonder if it would be possible for us to, instead of having to come up with $100,000 to $150,000 for all five stations to get HD radio, if it wouldn't be possible for each station to raise their own monies. Because raising $20,000 is a lot easier than raising $150,000. And if that were the case, would that actually add to the burden that they've got to do for the national?
Yeah, of course. That's a good question, Fred. And of course, you know, the priority, of course, is to be able to get central services payments on a regular basis so that we don't have these fiscal problems to start with.
That was the second question. How about the first one?
It would cost $20,000 a piece for each station to transform itself. The only station currently is an HD station, I believe is KPFT. But that's based on Mo Thomas estimating the cost of that. YouTube channels are something that are a lot cheaper and something I think we should frankly have several YouTube channels at each station. They're a lot easier to do.
Egberto's got one.
Yeah, Egberto's got one.
And Jeff Mizrich.
Jeff has one, but Sue suggested something with that Middle East programming that triggered. I said, well, wait, this might be a good idea to actually figure out some cost effective way to transform that stuff into a YouTube podcast thing, which would be one way to go. Anyway.
All right. Thanks. So that takes us to the end of the committee reports. And I will note that we don't have a lot of time left in the meeting because we've extended time a couple of times on things. Heather and or Bill, is there anything that you'd like to report from the affiliates this month?
No, not at this time. I don't. Heather, do you?
No, I don't actually.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead, Fred.
So both Heather and Bill, a couple months ago, three or four by now, we asked for you folks to come up with some suggestions as to programs that are doing well on the affiliates that could be slipped into some of the local station slots that aren't doing as well as they should be. Is there any movement on that, Heather?
Thanks for saying. No, I guess there hasn't. That we need to do that. My apology. I'm trying to recall that, but we could definitely do that. We could definitely.
Yeah, we were looking for some state, you know, because you guys have got some great programming out there that we're not aware of. And we've got a national audience that we would like to feed great programming. Bill, how about you?
Well,
go ahead, Bill.
Well, I know our station does, but it's local in nature, but we have a program on HIV and women.
That's national.
And, you know, I let, Ursula know about it. And so I have to follow up on that because they didn't follow up with me. And so I'll have to follow up with that. But what do you want? Where should we submit the information?
I would start with Stephanie because I don't know who else to start with. And I have to say my wife manages several HIV programs for the County of Alameda Health Department, and that is a critical issue, and it's an underutilized, an underexplored, underpromulgated issue. If you've got a good program on HIV and women, that has national implications.
Yeah, because we've basically focused on Montgomery, Alabama, because it was a high incidence rate in Montgomery. I'll be glad to share it.
I hope Stephanie's
I could go through Ursula and make it part of audio report.
Good.
Is that possible? Is that what you're looking for? We could definitely do that. They just haven't followed up with me on it.
That's often a problem.
I'll make sure I'll get on that.
Thank you, sir.
Bill? Yeah,
no, that's exactly.
Bill, if it's uploaded into AudioPort, any of us, any network station or any of the independent stations can pull it back down. So yes. You just need to get it up so we can take it down.
That's exactly right.
Matter of coordinating with Ursula's office.
Yep.
And I'll make I'll get on that tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
That sounds good. Thank you, Bill. I will say that I think as a general proposition, Ursula probably is, you know, a good point of contact in terms of, you know, having a sense of what's going on across all the affiliate units, right? In terms of programming that they might have and, you know, it might, behoove us for Ursula to, you know, put a call out to the affiliates for, you know, making their programming available on AudioPort just as a reminder and what will induce the affiliates to do a better job of that is if we see some uptake on the part of the five Pacifica stations in terms of playing those programs, that will be the kind of thing that the more of that occurs, the more likely we're going to be able to, get really the highest quality programming, from the affiliates uploaded to AudioPort. Teresa?
Time.
I think that's what I suspected. Okay.
I had a comment about that, Julie.
Well, if you're going to have a comment, you have to make a motion to extend time.
Well, I have to stop, darling.
What's that?
Extension of time so I could make my comment.
I didn't just hear what you were saying, Jim. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll be quick. We actually put a show on that week in New York based on our discussion, and we talked to Ursula. And we put a show that she suggested on the air in New York that week.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Great. So moving on to, the next item on the agenda, which, I'll do in way less than 10 minutes, although that's what we listed here. The 10 minutes was generous to allow for discussion. So we touched on this earlier. This is the meeting schedule and seating of the 2024 PMB. So one of the things that we've talked about a couple of times now is the fact that we know we're a little bit behind on getting some minutes posted. Some of them have been approved and not yet posted. And we may have some minutes from meetings. I mean, we just have to check. We may have some minutes that we haven't yet approved either. And so what we're going to try to do, we have a regularly scheduled meeting for January 18th, which is 2 weeks from tonight. And that would be a meeting of the 2023 PMB. And the object of that meeting would be we would close out. We would hear any final reports from committees that we haven't already heard from. And then we would also, close that, you know, try and like wrap up minutes approval, et cetera, so that we can, you know, get as much of that out of the way as possible. I think one of the issues we couldn't have done that, for tonight's meeting just because we're so, this meeting is so close on the heels of the holidays. And, you know, and I think, you know, people need a little bit of time to make up minutes or, you know, to get them completed. And this is true for committees as well as for the PMB. One thing that I wanted to say about that is, oh, that then means that what we would do is we would, and Nancy already posted this, the first meeting of the 2024 PMB would be on Thursday, January 25th. And so the new, delegates, but not delegates. Well, I mean, they aren't delegates too, but the new directors, will all have been elected by then, I do believe. And, so then what we do for the meeting on the 25th, I believe is, the new directors come, I think, I have to convene the meeting and, but then, you know, the first order business is, that I ask for nominations for a chair pro tem and then basically the seat the 2024 PMB and then the, you know, the chair pro tem gets elected and then, you know, the chair pro tem takes over and off I ride into the sunset. So I think that's the basic plan. And so I'm sure that one of the things that will happen over the next 2 weeks is that we may press some people into service in terms of helping out to make sure that we've got all the minutes done. So please cooperate if we ask for your help. I don't know how much help we might need. Thank you, Myla. You know, I appreciate your looking through, you know, some, committees to see about minutes and help people understand what needs to be posted. So, you know, if people are willing to just, you know, keep track of that so that we're set up a, you know, tick sheet so that we know what work needs to be done. You know, that might be helpful as well. I mean, this is one of the things that, as Dingaman has noted before, that we need to get right, to get CPB money in the future. And so that's just, you know, kind of what the plan is in terms of, the meetings. And so, okay. So now I see two hands, Dingaman and Jan, go ahead, Dingaman.
That's a legacy.
Jan.
I'm wondering just, as a practical matter, if we're really going to be just receiving the minutes and voting on them, essentially that would be, and receiving any other reports. And I think we've gotten most of the reports. I mean, it seemed that everybody had a report today, so I don't know that there was anybody, any committee that didn't have a report. What do you think about just having the 2023 PNB meet for, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, and then have the newly elected people meet, you know, start meeting at, you know, 6:30. Eastern, or whatever it is, 5, 6:30 Pacific time would be 9:30 your time. And so we don't have to use up two evenings. Or will, and I guess the only thing that to me would stop that would be the issue of whether or not all the stations will have elected their PNB people. And if they will have elected all of their PNB, if they will not have elected all their PNB people, what about moving the 15th, the meeting that was scheduled for the 15th to the 25th, and our meeting that was scheduled for the 18th, not the 15th.
Your time's up.
18th to the 25th, so that we only have to have two meetings this month instead of three meetings this month.
Your time's up.
Thanks.
Sorry.
I hadn't really thought that through. I do know that, okay. So I was basing part of this on the fact that I knew that I only had, three committee reports by the time I sent out the agenda tonight. I got one, two, three more, shortly thereafter, I do believe. But there are, the finance committee is still outstanding. One of the things I was going to do for the PNB is I have pulled together in one file all of the report outs from all of the closed sessions. I still have, two or three where I have to go back and look, or listen to a meeting to get that done. And the other thing I was going to do was, try and pull out and make a file that's just all the motions of substance that we passed, through the course of 2023. So, and that will take me a little bit of time. And, it's not like there's anything to debate or discuss about that as a report, right? It's like the motions we passed are the motions we passed, right? So any rate, that's the kind of thing that's really handy to be able to provide the next PMB. It's kind of a question of, you're right, we have to make sure that all the directors will be elected by the time of whatever the meeting is. And off the top of my head, I don't know whether that will have happened by the 18th or not. Just because I simply didn't have a chance to look and double check that beforehand. The other thing I was going to say about that was, if you were elected as a director, the question is, you give people, do you expect them to show up for a meeting the next day and be available? They might not be available because, if they only got elected, two or three days before, their calendar might not be clear. Whereas if we, give them a little bit of time and the meeting on the 25th, perhaps it's easier for the new directors to plan for, or the would be directors. So anyway, your point's well taken, Jan, but, it can go both ways. I see a whole pile of hands now. Dingaman. Is that a legacy? Beth?
Sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead. Beth, do you have a question or a point here?
Yes, I would point out that many committees have not yet met this month. I mean, this is still very early in the month, and most normal committees meet once a month, and we have a number of committees that have year-end business to wrap up, and there may be motions come out of that. So we're taking care of minutes, but there's more to business than that. And I think attenuating the year by even a week, whatever, especially at the tail end of the year, really limits what committees are able to accomplish. And we need that time to wrap up. And what's the rush? I mean, the bylaws say that the new board is seated late in January, and the 25th is plenty of time.
So, yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Sagerton, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm just going to reiterate what Beth just said, which is that the bylaws, off-cited but sometimes forgotten, they say late January is when the new board is seated, and I think that comports with some of the reasons you just gave, Chair, for why the 25th is handy for people and more practical. And the meeting on the 18th is exactly 2.5 days away from dead center of January. In no way, I think, qualifies as late January. So I think to be in conformance with the bylaws, the 25th is much better. Thank you.
Nancy, go ahead.
So in the personnel committee, we were talking about ideas for passing the torch to the next PNB and, you know, doing things like having them maybe attend a meeting, you know, have meetings overlap. I don't know if we could, if we have the meeting on the 18th, then we could invite them as guests and just, you know, if they have questions about ongoing work or, you know, things that have been accomplished over the year or things that need to be continued to be looked after, it would be an opportunity to sort of pass that torch to them and also to get their requests for information that we could make sure we got to them so they would have all the information they need about being directors of Pacifica.
Thanks, Nancy. Jan.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Jan is the second time that the speaking is issued.
I'm sorry.
Can I say this to clarify? I didn't mean that it should have, and I said we could have one meeting on the 25th. I wasn't trying to attenuate the time. I was just trying to say, why not have one meeting, back-to-back meetings on the same day?
You said the 18th to the 25th.
Exactly.
And do both on the same day.
Yes. So I'm not, you know, I wasn't arguing to have a shorter season or anything. I was just saying, let's be more efficient with our time. That's all.
Okay. No, thank you for clarifying. Okay. I see a couple of hands still. Fred, Adriana.
I was before. When I
asked, let Adriana go first.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Can I call the question, please? You can go, please, and this made the decision just now.
So the only thing, Adriana, about calling the question is there's not actually a motion on the floor.
May I make a motion?
Go ahead, Jan.
I move that we have the final meeting of the 2023 session of the PNB to January 25th to begin at either 8 or 8:30. Well, I'll say at 8 o'clock if that would make it easier. No, I'll just say January 25th. At its normal time, and that the newly elected members join the meeting at 9 o'clock Eastern time on that day, so that instead of having three PNB meetings in January, we only have two.
Second.
Point of order.
Time was called. So the problem is, in order to have any discussion of this, we have to extend time.
We've had lots of discussion.
that that doesn't mean, I mean, there are people whose hands are up.
Okay.
I move to extend by 10. Beth.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Is there a second to Beth's motion?
Jan.
Thank you, Jan. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 10 to talk about this motion?
I object, but I will not require a vote.
Are there any other objections besides Fred's?
I'll object.
I'll object.
Oh, good.
I object.
Okay, so let's go to a vote, Nancy.
Chair, will you
vote yes for to extend for 10, vote no if you want to
appreciate.
One second. I gotta find my voting sheet. Okay, so are we extending item 6?
Please speak up.
Okay. We're extending time on item 6.
Yep. For 10 minutes.
Okay. Alan?
Teresa?
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Adriana Casanave.
Yes.
James Dingman.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Is she still here? Vanessa, you're muted. May I come back to you? Fred Dodsworth.
No.
Thank you. William Foster.
Yes.
Sam Goodman.
Abstain.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin. Can't hear you. Heather Gray.
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. Avelia Jones.
No.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
No.
James McFadden.
Yes.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Myla Reeson.
No.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
Pass.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Pass.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. Come back to you. Aki Tanaka.
No.
Beth Van Good.
Yes.
Berta Willis. Adriana, you passed.
Yes.
Okay. Nessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Sue Goodwin. Still can't hear you.
I didn't see her on the board.
Okay. She's not on the call anymore.
Donna Grimes, I've never been on. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. Can't hear you. I see you there, but I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Egberto Willis, okay. 10 yes, 7 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
Thank you.
All right, so we're extended for 10. I see Beth and Adriana and Fred. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I am unmuted. Yes, it's been my experience on most other boards that the baton is passed from one iteration of the board to the next within a meeting rather than between a meeting, as I see done here in Pacifica. So in general, I would support the principle that Jan is describing. I don't think we should cut ourselves too close on time to do actual business. It should be more than just a symbolic meeting. For the last meeting of our current PNB, we need to leave time enough to transact actual business. There may be motions that come forward that need legitimate discussion, but it makes sense to me to do the actual transition from one board to the next within a meeting rather than between meetings. It's a strong indication of transparency so that people see what happens and when, rather than just show up to a meeting and the whole board's new and there's no explanation of how changes have been made. So in principle, I would support it as long as the time allotments are practical in allowing time for actual business to be transacted and not just a ceremonial sort of a handing of things off. Thank you.
Thanks. Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move to amend that January 18 will be the 2023 board. We tie, like you said, all the loose end. And January 25th will be the city, not the new board. That is my motion. My amendment motion.
I'll second that. This is Sean.
Point of information?
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
Isn't that exactly what we do?
Okay. That is typically what we do. You know, the only thing that's weird about it is that I get the short straw that I have to go to the meeting as the convener to get to the point of, getting a chair pro tem elected, right?
Can I clarify? Because it's my motion and the, Darlene, the motion on the floor is the Sean Goodman motion that put all together the 25th. That's why I'm dividing the 18th for finish this board and the 25th sit in the new one. Because it's impossible. We know that it's impossible to have both in the same day. That is not possible.
So, thank you so much, Adriana, for interrupting without seeking recognition first. I really appreciate it when people do that. And other people appreciate it when other people do that. So I'm just acknowledging that. It is possible, Nancy noted previously that we could invite people who have already been elected as 24 directors to a meeting on the 18th so that they could observe. They wouldn't be allowed to vote. You know, you can have multiple people at the meeting, and it would be a better way to do a handoff than to just throw people in cold. But go ahead, Adriana. That's fine.
You say, Adriana, just fine.
Do you need to keep motivating?
Well, my motivation was exactly that.
Time's up.
I mean, we can invite the people. We can invite the people, the new people, the new board, if they are all already
way elected. Over time.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair, can you tell Fred to not to interrupt? Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I modified the motion. I'm amending and trying to explain the reasons. I don't have any problem with the new board being, if they are all elected, being in the 18, but the seating of the new board need to be the 25th. That was my motion. That's all. Thank you.
So I'm just going to acknowledge that what we have to do is make a decision because it's 10:55, and this shouldn't be terribly difficult. And I don't want to spend gobs of time doing it. And I see three people who still have their hands up. And Teresa, did you tell me that we were at time on this item?
Yes, we are.
So if we're going to keep talking about this, we need a motion to extend. On the other hand, the motion that's on the floor now is, although Adriana called it a motion, it must be an amendment to Jan's motion that says, have the meeting on the 18th be the 2023 board and have the meeting on the 25th, be the 2024 board. So if we're going to keep talking about it, we have to have a motion to extend. Are people ready to go to a vote? Or do we need a motion to extend?
Excuse me, I have a point of information.
What's the point of information, Jan?
Isn't it true that voting no on my motion would make it Adriana's motion, so that it is not really an amendment to my motion at all, because it would just take it back, because my motion is changing the present status of being the 2023 on the 18th and the 20, you know, the normal way it would be exactly what Adriana is saying. So if you voted no on my motion, it would just be what Adriana is suggesting.
It's so, an amendment motion.
Yeah. So,
my motion is to
hang on. You're not incorrect, Jan, in that, the two are effectively sort of the opposites of, maybe not complete opposites, but the opposite ends of what we've been talking about so far. So, but the point is, according to Robert's rules, you put a motion on the floor. It was seconded. Adriana then made made a motion to amend, and it was seconded. And so now the body owns the we can't just change our minds about how we go about doing this. The body owns the motion to amend. So if you would prefer Jan Goodman's version, you would vote no on Adriana's amendment. If you prefer Adriana's version, then you vote yes on Adriana's amendment. That's whether the amendment passes or not. And then we'll wind up voting on the motion, the main motion, whether it's the main motion as Jan made it or the main motion as amended. So, you know, that's how we're going to go about doing it, because that's what Robert's rule says to do. So, and the point is, there are two people with their hands up, and the only way they can talk is if we have a motion to extend, which, you know, at this point, I'm not clear whether. Well, if one of the two people who has their hands up something to say that has been said or a question to ask that's important, then I would invite either of them to make a motion to extend to exhaust the stack of two. But I'm not hearing anything. Okay, so so then now we're at the point of voting on Adriana's amendment, which is that the January 18th meeting is a meeting of the 2023 board, and the January 25th meeting is the seating of the 2024 board. Did I just say that right, Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any objections to Adriana's amendment?
I'm actually.
Yes, I object.
Okay, so then let's go to a vote on Adriana's amendment. Again, a vote yes. Well, y'all get it.
Not really.
I don't think I have to. Is everybody clear on what we're voting on here? Okay, Nancy, can you call the roll?
Okay, one second. Teresa Allen. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
I'll say no.
No. Vivian Cassane?
Yes.
Cassane votes yes. James Dingman?
Yes.
Dingman votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Yes. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm going to pass.
Dodsworth passes. William Foster?
Yes.
Foster votes yes. Jan Goodman?
No.
Goodman votes no. Sue Goodwin is not here. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Gray votes yes. Donna Grimes is not here. Avalia Jones?
I'll go no.
Jones, no. Marianne Martinez? Marianne, I can't hear you. I'll come back to you. James McFadden?
Yes.
Fadden votes yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Gano votes yes. Myla Reeson?
Yes. And I wonder, could the text of the...
I didn't get your vote.
I'm passing because I'd like to see it written.
Reeson passes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Yes. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Sagerton votes yes. Sharon Salam? Sharon, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Tanaka votes yes. Elizabeth Van Gunsen?
Yes.
Van Gunsen votes yes. Egberto Willis is not here. Fred Dodsworth, you passed.
I'm going to abstain. This is just too much confusion and too typical of this network, this board.
Dodsworth abstains. Sue Goodwin's gone. Donna Grimes. Marianne Martinez?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I said no.
Okay. Tina votes no. Myla Reeson? You passed.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'll vote no.
Votes no.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have just discovered that some people didn't realize that my motion was to not have the meeting.
Chair, we are in the middle of a vote.
Why don't you let the chair handle this?
I'm asking the chair to clarify that my motion was to eliminate the meeting on the 18th and have only one meeting on the 25th. People apparently did not understand that was what my motion was.
Okay.
And if the chair would clarify that, then people could change their vote.
Thank you, Jan. I did understand that your motion was to eliminate the meeting on the 18th. So Nancy, where were you in the voting? Had you gotten all the way to the end of the roll call?
Yes, except for you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So before I vote, let me just see and inquire, is there anyone who would like to change their vote because they hadn't realized that Jan Goodman's motion would have eliminated the meeting on the 18th?
I would.
Yes.
Fred.
I would like to eliminate the meeting on the 18th. I don't know how I'm supposed to vote to get to do that, but however that is. Please.
So how you're supposed, how you would vote is you would vote no on Adriana's amendment. Then so I'll that it no would go back to the main motion.
The idea of spending another week with this crew.
Okay, let's try and keep the editorial stuff to a minimum here, folks.
I also changed to a no.
Nancy, have you caught up with?
Dodsworth votes no. And
no.
Aka votes no. Okay. I'm going to go through. Should I go through again?
Yes, start over.
All right. Teresa Allen. Let me read
what you've got.
Allen, no. Casanave, yes. Dingman, yes. Dixon Briggs, yes. Bosworth, no. Foster, yes. Goodman, no. Gray, yes. Jones, no. Martinez, no. McFadden, yes. Pagano, yes. Reason, no. Rhodes, yes. Yeah. Salam, yes. Tanaka, no. Van Gunten, yes. Anybody want to change their vote?
Yeah.
Chair, may I be heard?
Yeah, go ahead, Sagerton.
I think she just faded out when she read my name and said my vote, but I didn't hear it.
Oh, sorry. Sagerton, yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Is there anyone who would like to change their vote based on what Nancy just read?
Salam, no.
Sharon's changing her vote to no?
Yes.
No, she said no.
She said yes.
I mean, she doesn't want to change her vote, I thought.
Exactly. She said that she doesn't
Hang on. Oh, how about if we let Sharon speak for herself? Sharon, are you asking to change?
Sharon, how do you vote? Yes or no?
Change it to no.
Okay. Salam votes no. Okay.
All right. Where does that leave us, Nancy?
11, yes. 7, no.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It changed. Sorry. Changed 10. 10, yes. 8, no.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
How do you wish to vote?
I'll vote
May
yes.
May I change my vote?
Go ahead, Darlene. I thought you did already, but go ahead.
No, I hadn't. I'll vote no.
Okay. Pagano votes no. Okay, let me see what that does. Okay. 9 yes, 9 no.
No, we have with Julie, we have 10. What do you mean?
So hang on. I spoke out.
That's before the chair voted, sorry.
Yeah. I spoke up and
did you vote? I didn't hear that.
Well, now I don't have to vote, but I am still going to vote yes.
Okay. We have 10 yes, 9 no.
So the amendment passes. And so then the question is, now the main motion is amended. And so, are there any objections to the main motion as amended?
Yeah, I want a roll call vote.
Could you read the full, measure?
And I'm asking for a roll call vote.
Casanave moved to amend to make January 18th the last 2023 board meeting and have the meeting on the, the 25th be
anything
meeting.
Nancy, your microphone was in your neck or muffled in some way. Could you do that again?
Yeah. So, yeah. Casanave moved to amend to make, so the main motion then would be to make January 18th the last 2023 board meeting and have the meeting on the 25th of January be the 2024 board meeting, board seating meeting.
It's in the chat.
Oh, it's in
by
the
Julie.
Chat.
By Julie.
Right. I did, but I Adriana's original motion had last meeting and seating, and so I just like added that wording in just to make it really clear.
Okay, let me sure. Read. Move that the January 18th meeting be the last meeting of the 2023 PNB, and that the January 25th meeting be the seating of the 2024 PNB. Right. So that's the main motion now.
That's now the main motion, having been amended. So let's do a roll call vote.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Teresa.
Was he recognized? I guess he was, but I didn't hear you recognize him.
I didn't actually. Well, what I did was I said, are there any objections to the main motion as amended?
As per roll call vote.
Okay.
So let's do a roll call vote. Let's try to answer up quickly, people.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Adriana Casanave?
Yes.
Okay. Allen, yes. Casanave, yes. James Dingman?
Yes.
Dingman passes. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs? Vanessa, I can't hear you. You're muted.
Sorry, pass.
All right. Fred Dodsworth?
No.
No. Dodsworth, no. William Foster?
Yes.
Foster, yes. Jan Goodman?
No.
Goodman, no. Sue Goodwin, not here. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Gray, yes. Donna Grimes, not here. Valia Jones?
No.
Jones, no. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Martinez passes. James McFadden?
Yes.
McFadden, yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Pagano, yes. Myla Reeson?
Sorry about that. No.
Reeson, no. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Rhodes, yes. Sagerton?
Yes.
Sagerton, yes. Siobhan Salaam. Come back to you. Aki Tanaka?
Both, no.
Tanaka, no. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Van Gunten, yes. Egberto Willis is not here. James Dingman, you passed?
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs, you passed?
Yes.
Dixon Briggs, yes. Marianne Martinez, you passed?
No.
No. Okay. That would be 11, yes. 6, no. Charity, wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Chair votes yes. Okay. Okay.
Okay, so that's settled. Moving on. I will point out that it is 11:16 and we're supposed to be in executive session by now. Arthur told me that he did not have an open session report for this evening.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you may.
I just want to congratulate Sharon. Her son became the most celebrated city council member in the city of New York last week. And it's a really wonderful thing that has happened. So congratulations, Sharon.
You're here.
You're here.
You're here.
That's all.
Wonderful.
Thank you. So what's left on the agenda, is executive director, report and Q&A. Stephanie, do you want to touch on anything for open session?
Yeah, with open session, what I will touch upon is that we are making progress with looking for some temporary locations for KPFK to move into as just a small recording studio to use during the renovation and build out process. We're thinking that escrow looks like it's going to close somewhere around February 16th, 17th or so. The buyers are being very gracious with us, so we can, we're doing everything we can to move out and clean up and have some parking lot sales, and those are becoming quite successful. And then we will be able to start that move out process when escrow closes. And again, we have a couple of small spaces that we're looking at that are very close to KPFK at this point, and we're checking them to make sure for ADA accessibility and access to public transportation. And we're working with Mo Thomas with the equipment that we may need to come in and then set that up fairly quickly to be a small, you know, to be small recording studios, someplace that we can use for about 15 months while that's being done. So we'll keep everybody posted as that. As we move forward with that, and as soon as we have more information or finality on that, we will let you know. Everything else I can talk about in anything else in closed session.
Got it. So I see two hands with questions for Stephanie Dingman and Adriana. Go ahead, Dingman.
Yeah. I talked about the issue earlier. Maybe as an idea, I don't know how that, money are, I know that there's a pretty rigid schedule for the monies, but I might want to throw in the mix that maybe be worth it to invest in creating HD capability at KPFK. If it's only going to cost $20,000 and we're making, you know, X dollars, it might be worthwhile to do that. Just a suggestion. And secondly, I wonder where we're at in terms of getting the fundraising data from the stations, given the fact that we passed a resolution about weeks ago. Just curious where we're at, because I've seen none of that information in the report you gave. Have you actually gotten responses or discussions with the general managers about that?
Yes, I have. And people are pulling information. I know at KPFK, we'll be getting an entire year's worth of information for fiscal year 2023. So they're in the process of pulling that from Allegiant, and KPFT can pull that as well. They give reports on that on a regular basis.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, Adriana? If you're talking, yes, Adriana, you're muted still.
Yeah, I was muted. I'm sorry. I have two questions from Stephanie. First of all, I'm looking at the financials, and what I can see that you said that this is to said net profit, net loss, FY23. I suppose that this is till the end. It means till September, the end of September 2023, right? And I can see that it's only one division that is KPFT that is in black. The rest are all in red. Okay? That is the first one. And to verify that, the second one is that we have in unpaid services, central services, we have more than $1,338,000, almost $39,000 in unpaid central services. And this is a question too. We were talking before about the different units sending the budget. Did you receive anything? Do we have a complete budget from KPFA? And do you have all the accounts? You were talking about the accounts all being consolidated. Do you have any option? Do you have any, all the accounts there or not? Or you have anybody that didn't send
your
you?
Time is up.
Yes, we heard you. Yeah. Stephanie, you can answer.
Yes, the budgets, not all the budgets, as James had talked about in the committee reports, not all of the budgets have been submitted to the LSBs or the NFC for approval. I have spoken with the general managers, though, because I have a rough estimate of a projected fiscal year 24 budget that was created in September that was based upon the projected revenue and expenses for this upcoming year. So that is a budget that we have been looking at and working on just so we can get a general idea. As far as the accounts, we only have one station that has, well, the archives and WPFW have not transferred all of their funds over into a consolidated bank account yet. And KPFA is working on transferring at least some of their payroll account over into that consolidated budget. I mean, into consolidated banking. So we have, was that what you were looking for when you said all of the accounts?
Yes, I want to be sure because you said before that some of them didn't answer on time. And I want to know if we need anything else or somebody's being write up because they are not following your directives.
Well, we are requesting on a daily basis for the two units that have not transferred their money over to make that transfer happen. And we've had multiple meetings with some of those unit members and the bank representatives just to double check and make sure they understand what they need to do to close out one of the accounts and transfer it over. But all the accounts are up and ready to go. It's just a matter of transferring that money over.
Okay, thank you.
Myla?
Hi, thank you. There are a few questions that I'm hearing from a number of people involved at KPFK that I'd like to see if I can get answers for. But prior to asking those questions, I'm just wondering, I think I heard you say that you had narrowed down or there were two specific prospects for alternative spaces once we have to vacate the stations. Is that what you said, that they were, that you'd narrowed it down to two?
It's about two or three. Uh-huh. I know that the chief engineer and some of the volunteers went to look at two pieces of property today. So We have an application for one. Some of the volunteers are working with they found the location and they're working with the property owners just to see if there are certain holes that can be drilled, if we need to bring in internet or a cable. So we have it We have an application for one, and we have on two. They went to view two additional pieces of property just today.
So we're wondering about the location, the three possible locations, two or three.
Burbank, Glendale, Pasadena.
Okay. And then there are a number of programmers, many of them are Spanish language programmers, who for whom it doesn't seem feasible to have their own home studios, and they seem particularly concerned about having a production space to pre-record their shows or specifically. So that's one of the main questions.
Your time is up, Myla.
That's why we're securing these separate locations for recording purposes.
And can I just ask one additional question that I've been...
Quick.
The other question that I'm hearing from a lot of different people is they want to know how the proceeds of the sale will be allocated. That I just constantly...
Yeah, the possible expenditures from the sale of the building are right now, it's just a draft budget. And that's been attached to the ED report for the last, or at least the last 2 to 3 months, if not more. But we have various vendors that we are working with to pay off. I'm not going to name what vendors are being selected or not selected. But one of the priorities is to make sure that there are health benefits that are caught up, make sure that we have D&O, liability, and casualty insurance. I also want to make sure that we have our donor database that past due caught up so we can get better access to our database and our constituents and being able to get in there and make sure we have clean lists, particularly for the upcoming election, but also just for stewardship and cultivation of those donors that we have. We have allocated, of course, costs for moving. That includes dumpsters, junk removal, and just movers in general. We have also allocated at least 15 months of storage costs for both the archives and KPFK. We've also allocated at least 15 months of temporary office space and miscellaneous operational expenses for both PRA and KPFK. We have some legal bills that we need to pay off, including getting caught up with our FCC attorneys, various counsel that we've used for union negotiations, and just some general legal things that have happened, getting caught up with some of the general legal payments for some cases that have happened over the past year. And then, of course, we'll be setting aside and paying off the past due payments for the FJC loan and the EIDL loan, and also setting aside upcoming payments, interest payments for FJC and EIDL for at least 10 months to a year to make sure that we don't get behind. All of it is outlined in the budget that is in the ED report, but it is listed as confidential because there is information in there that is still under discussion and cannot be shared publicly. And it's not because we're hiding anything, but it's just we just want to make sure that this budget, which is right now a plan, isn't shared because it hasn't been something that is official yet, and we're still working with what insurance company we're going to go to, what health benefits will be paid off, those kind of things. So
yeah, that was what I was going to break in, was to remind people you cannot share that. As much as people are asking, you can't share that with the detailed part in the ED report with others.
Are we in executive session or still open
session? We're not. We're still in open session. Yeah.
A lot of details coming out, guys.
Sagerton, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, do we have an account to receive the stock option donations yet?
No, we do not. The account is there and open. It's just, again, the paperwork being signed.
Do we know when that'll get done?
I'm hoping soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I don't see any other hands. So let's move on to the next item. Okay. The next item, what I'm going to try and do is race through these two things. The first item is unfinished business, and there were two motions. I'm going to argue that the and they are motions that have carried along on our agendas for a number of meetings. And I'm going to argue that the first motion, the one from Teresa Allen, is based on the passage of time, now a moot motion, and that we should just agree to table it. And the second motion is a motion that it hasn't been made, although it was a motion for Aki put the PMB on notice to amend or rescind a previously adopted motion, but we don't have new wording for a substitute motion yet. So what I would like to do is make a motion to table, that is to say, to get rid of into perpetuity the motion that Teresa.
I move that we table it.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa. I'll second that. Any need to discuss the tabling of that motion? Are there any objections to the motion to table that motion? Great. Then I can stop carrying it along on the agenda. Okay, so that brings us to, and because we don't have another motion for part B of that one, that means we're done with unfinished business. And so on new business, Teresa had an item for new business, which I hope is a short item, but go ahead, Teresa.
Yes, I'm not muted. Something has come up, and I guess like an acknowledgement from the PNB. The situation is that in December, before the deadline, Adriana Casanave mentioned that we need to do our nominations by the 31st. She nominated herself and another person. Other nominations were made and submitted by the 31st. So she nominated in by email, okay? And other nominations were made by email. No one nominated her before the 31st. The bylaws say that you cannot nominate yourself. I think that, so I just want to confirm, we consulted, Terry Goodman, and I can tell you what he said, but I just want to confirm that she could be a write-in. Like when we have our meeting, I don't care if she can makes a statement, but I want to comply with the bylaws so we don't have confusion afterwards. She technically missed the deadline because the person that nominated her didn't do it by the 31st, but we knew she wanted to be nominated. But that email was not received by the 31st. So, I'd like to clarify that she could be a write-in on the ballot, and we can actually let her respond to questions when we meet, and discuss the nominations before the ballots go out. Is that how we want to handle it? I can read you what it says, what Terry said, about the bylaws and what Robert's rules says. It doesn't take very long, but I'm just trying to get that clarified. Was I muted?
No, you were not muted. You were not muted. I am, trying to desperately read, the bylaws quickly.
I'll read it to you. The bylaws say that any current delegate may nominate any other current delegate serving at the same station for the office of director. So any self-nominations could be challenged on the basis of that language. But our rules of order allow self-nominations for any offices. So most Pacifica delegate assemblies allow it in the director's elections too. This is what Terry Goodman says. There are additional rules in Roberts limiting the number and sequence of nominations from individual members. For example, everybody should have the opportunity to nominate somebody before anybody is allowed to nominate a second person. But these additional rules are frequently ignored at Pacifica, he says, particularly when meetings are not in person. Seconds for nominations are allowed but never required. He says, in my opinion, the Article 5, Section 3A, December 31 deadline for director nominations does not establish a qualification for office. In parentheses, those are in Section 1B, so write-in candidates are allowed. In my opinion, the purpose of the deadline is so that nominees' names may appear in the meeting notice, since a California statute requires that the names of directors' nominees be included in a public benefit corporation's meeting notice, if those names are known when the notice is posted. Failure of a candidate for director to be nominated by the deadline means that the candidate name might not appear in the public notice or on pre-printed ballots. Quote, unless the bylaws or a special rule of order provides otherwise, comma, the chair must call for further nominations at the session at which the election is held, even if nominations were called for the previous session. That's Roberts Rules, 12th edition, 46-6. So he says, in my opinion, this rule means that additional nominations for the director positions in Pacifica should be solicited and accepted at the annual delegates meeting in January. This should finalize the nominees, but voters still have the individual right to vote on their ballot for an eligible person who was not nominated. So I just wanted to get clarification.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead, Arthur.
I agree with everything except that last phrase. The bylaws say, and the bylaws always trump Robert's rules. The bylaws say, said nominations must be given in writing to the recording secretary for the radio station, LSB, by December 31, prior to the election of directors in January. There is not any option under this to reopen nominations in the January meeting. So I disagree with Terry on that point. Whether there could be write-ins, since there's nothing in our bylaws that prohibit it, then there can be write-ins, but someone can't be nominated at the January meeting.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I answer? Because you are not reading the bylaws. There is a start reading the bylaws and then change it. I sent an email by December 31st with another people and my nominations before the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was received by the secretary before the deadline.
But it says members may nominate any other current delegate.
Exactly. Yeah, how many people will interrupt me because everybody else talked before? May I finish? I mean, these same people are the one that said that Article 4 delegate term in office in no event more than 6 consecutive years, they extend 1 year.
Sorry, Adriana, that's out of line.
My point is,
that is not germane to this. We're talking about this particular issue. Stick to
her.
That's what I'm trying, Madam Chair. I mean, it doesn't say there that you cannot be self-nominated. It's a matter
Teresa,
of interpretation.
For the stack.
I'm sorry.
Teresa for the stack.
I got you, Teresa. Adriana, are you finished?
I read what Terry Goodman said. Could we ask Arthur Schwartz again to read what it said in the bylaws that any current delegate may nominate any other current delegate, so you can't self-nominate. Arthur, can you read that again from the bylaws? I don't have them in front of me, but
it says any current delegate of any class of members may nominate any other current delegate of any class of members serving in the same radio station for the office of director.
Yeah. I'm not being critical. We all know that you wanted to run, but I'm just saying technically no one else nominated you in time. And the bylaws say you can't nominate yourself.
My law doesn't say that I cannot.
Thank you, honey.
It's your interpretation of what that said. Doesn't say that you cannot self-nominate.
Arthur?
I think it's the plain language of meaning of any other. I mean, let me put it this way, Adriana, if you were allowed to self-nominate, then it would say any current delegate of any class of members may nominate any current delegate of any class of members serving the same radio station. But it doesn't say that. It says may nominate any other current. So other changes the meaning there. And they wouldn't have put the word other in there if they didn't have to. It's not kind of like a word without meaning here. It's a word with meaning.
Can I say, I've been through
this Arthur.
With some notes, and we knew you wanted to run. I went through this once with the U.S. Department of Labor where somebody got petitions and then got an acceptance form that had to be back by Friday at midnight, and he slipped it under the door of the union office on Saturday. And the Department of Labor went to court and said, no, you knew he wanted to run. He should be. And the judge ruled in favor of the union, which said, okay, you want to change this rule? What other rule you want to change? A rule is a rule. That's what the rule says. It said he had to get it in by midnight on the Friday after it was received, and he didn't do it. So even though everyone knew he wanted to be.
I did.
No, what you didn't do was be nominated by somebody else.
Oh, boy.
Right. Okay. Teresa, you asked the question. We've had a bit of a discussion.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if we can just clarify that we can take a vote and clarify that we understand that our understanding is that she can be a write-in in this instance.
A write-in, but not nominate, but not a nominee listed on the ballot.
Right. Cannot be nominated at our meeting on January the 10th because that would be a violation of the bylaws.
Right. Okay. So Therese, I think, really what you have to do is, make a motion, that sounds something like the PNB interprets.
I have to
find the numbers here. Article 5.
I see a bunch of hands up.
Okay.
Well, okay. Are you the chair? I don't remember that happening. All right. The motion would read something like, the PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3 of the bylaws to mean that there is no self-nomination. Therefore, but there is no prohibition against write-in candidates or those who wish to self-nominate, being added later, considered as write-in candidates, though not nominees. I'm sorry. It's late and that was somewhat tortured.
Okay, well, so PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3 of the Pacifica bylaws to mean that there is no self-nomination for director.
Correct.
But there is no prohibition to write-in candidates.
Correct.
All right. And unless someone feels that's, I don't know whether James Sagerton or McFadden has a better wording, but unless that is so, I hope we can vote on that. That's my motion. That the PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3 of the Pacifica bylaws to mean that there is no self-nomination for director position, but there is no prohibition to write-in candidates.
I'm sure that Teresa seeks a second.
Vanessa seconds.
Thank you, Vanessa. I see four hands. I'm dubious that there's enough to talk about here, that we need four different people to talk, but, and so I'm going to ask people to speak quickly. McFadden's first.
Well, fast I can speak, but I'll try to speak really fast. First of all, I think this is just nitpicking about the other. Self-nominations are fine. And trying to pick out a word out of this thing and saying, well, that means you can't self-nominate. If they meant it to not be able to self-nominate, they would have said you cannot self-nominate. It's just a word that was stuck in there, and the meaning of it, it just seems silly. You know, if you're a member of a group and you can nominate any other member of a group, you're a member of the group. You can nominate yourself. I just think this is a nitpicking word, you know, in trying to enforce this as an attempt to prevent, Castaneda from, being on the ballot. It just seems silly to me. We should just say self-nominations are fine. Quit fussing with this.
Taggerton.
I have an inquiry, and that is, I thought I heard Adriana say that she emailed a nomination in, but that it was from other people. Can Adriana clarify that? Did she only nominate herself, or did she have other people who were nominating her, and she just happened to be the one that emailed it?
I nominated myself and another delegate, because we agreed, the two of us, that I will send the email. And I sent the nomination for him and for me on time.
I see. So the other one will be nominated, but you won't if we pass this motion. I understand. Thank you.
Right. Apparently, there is no question about the other person. Fred.
Yeah, I've been on this board now for a year. And for a year, I've heard a lot of people talking about the critical importance of obeying the bylaws. And I've heard a lot of people dissect the bylaws down to the period and the commas. And I find it rather ironic that some of those same people now are trying to throw the bylaws out. You know, they can mean something different because I have a different opinion. I just don't understand why we're addressing this as a PNB matter at all. This is not a PNB matter. The bylaws are clear. Why are we voting on this? Why is it taking up PNB time? This is not our job. Our job is to keep the network afloat. And I don't know why we're wasting more time on this issue.
Beth.
Thank you. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I need to invoke a precedent from KPFK. I don't know how it'll bear on this, but I have observed in my whole time there, the last 4 years, that it's the custom there for someone, and sometimes more than one person, to nominate the entire board in time for anyone to be eligible, and that's been accepted. And I've never seen the person making the nomination be accepted from that list of the entire board. If they nominate the entire board, it includes themselves, and if I'm not mistaken, there have been times when those people, those nominators, have been elected as delegates, or as directors, rather. So technically, I think that would be a precedent other than as it has been described here tonight. I'm inclined to agree with McFadden. I do see this as a matter for the PNB, because it has to do with how directors come onto the board. And that's the single most crucial decision any LSD makes. I'm inclined to see our bylaws as overly wordy and frequently ambiguous. And my proof for that is that we find ourselves so often in dispute about what they say, what they mean, what the implications are. And so I'm inclined toward McFadden's interpretation on this myself, and point to the precedent at KPFK, where though done in en masse, there have been instances where people did effectively self-nominate along with everybody else and then were elected to fill those positions. Thank you.
Okay. There are two more hands, and I'm begging you to only say new stuff, not just confirm what other people have said. Myla.
Well, for the purpose of making sure that everybody who was eligible would be able to run as a director, I, in fact, December 28th, approximately, I nominated everyone, including myself. And so I'm in the same boat that Adriana is in. And I would be perfectly willing to undertake a campaign and to run as a write-in if that's the will of the body. But it has been, I believe, at KPFA as well, just to make sure that everybody who is eligible to run is on the ballot, or is able to run. That is a custom. And that's why I went ahead and nominated everybody, including myself. And I didn't look closely enough to see that maybe I would be excluded, but I don't mind running as a write-in if that's the will of the body.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Just to let you know, Myla, PPFA does not put everybody on the ballot. You have to nominate someone else, and that person has to send in their acceptance to be on the ballot.
Thanks, Darlene. Vanessa?
So, couple points. I appreciate Myla saying that she nominated other people. I nominated other people too, and there are people who thought I was doing something nefarious trying to stack the deck. So I'm glad to see that other people also nominate other people. I also nominated myself and some others for the PNB, and the secretary stepped in and said, someone else has to nominate you, Vanessa. And then someone else did. Someone else who was on that email chain. So had the secretary not stepped in, I really would not have realized that. And I'm wondering why the secretary didn't step in for Adriana and say, when she sent in that email, someone else has to nominate you, if that is in fact the practice. But I think that Teresa has devised a good workaround. There appears to be nothing in the bylaws that would preclude someone being a write-in candidate.
Go ahead, Teresa.
So I would like to ask our corporate counsel one more time if he sees there would be a problem if we allow write-ins. I guess the question is there a problem if we just allow these people to run? The way the bylaws are worded, could we get in trouble if we open this gate and let somebody that nominated themselves be put on the ballot? I just don't want to get in trouble in the future.
Anytime you bend a bylaw that's very clear one way, you create trouble. Write-ins are allowed. I checked Robert's rules in 6 different places where there's a ballot. So if it's our bylaws say that if it's not addressed in the bylaws, Robert's rules govern. So write-ins are allowed, and the people on the ballot had to be nominated by the date that it says in the bylaws.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I want to be very clear with this. I never received, not only I never received anything, I sent that email at the 31st because I was thinking I didn't receive any other emails from anybody else, and I was thinking people are forgetting to nominate. That's why I sent the email not only so to the secretary, I sent it to the entire LSV to give the option for people to remember that they need to nominate before the end of the day. Nobody answered. Nobody tell me anything. And it's even today. Maybe Teresa is in the know with her group. But till now, the only official thing that we have at KPFT is the email that I sent with the nomination of Joseph David and myself. It's nobody else. We didn't receive any other thing, and the secretary didn't say anything. And I don't know if there are other people nominated. You know, that is the reality of KPFT.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sagerton.
This is Sagerton's second run.
Yep. If you're talking Sagerton, you're...
Yeah, I had to unmute, sorry. So I also appreciate Myla's coming forward and stating how she was nominated. And I would favor any solution that either requires the same thing of both nominees here, either way. I mean, let them both be write-ins or let them both be nominated. But please, let's get on with the business of Pacifica in clarifying how we do these things and getting everybody on the same page so we don't keep having this kind of stuff. We should all have finance committees that run in the same way. We should have election procedures that run in the same way. It's just, it's crazy. And I want to say that perhaps there's some basis in ancient history here that I'm unaware of that WBI does it exactly the same way Vanessa described it as being done at WPFW. So for whatever that's worth. So I will go for anything that treats both
your situations time's up, here. Sagerton.
Thank you. All you have to do, Fred, is say time, and then the chair will take it from there. Thank you.
Thanks for Darlene. Telling me my job.
This leaves me with the idea of Teresa. Do we really need a motion to deal with this? When you have a ruling of council that will be in the minutes. The council has ruled. We all heard it. It's going to be in the minutes. Do you have to make a motion? Can you not just accept the ruling of council?
I asked a different question. Do we need to vote?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, once again, you made a motion, Teresa, and,
maybe yes, council.
Teresa made a motion and I do believe it got seconded. So the body owns it. So, you know, have to decide as a group that we don't care, or, you know.
May I make an amendment, Phil?
Call the question. Let's vote.
Let's vote.
I can make an amendment.
The question is called and seconded.
What's the amendment, Sagerton?
I just want to say that one way or the other, they both be treated the same.
I totally
Myla know. And Adriana.
That's what the motion says. It's clear. It is the same for everybody.
The question's been called and seconded.
Well, then Myla will have to run as a write-in, and her name will have to be removed from the ballot, correct?
Yep. Okay. So, okay.
Point of information.
if I may, one final thing. I don't
believe information gets to work.
Council gets to offer an opinion. Thank you.
Point of information.
Go ahead, McFadden.
Darlene said something I just want to make sure, clarify. Is it really that Arthur gets to rule on something on the board? I don't think that's true. Arthur doesn't rule. Arthur provides an opinion. The board rules on items that come before the board.
So okay. What I don't want to do is spend a lot of time yakking about this. Let's just vote on the motion. I think it's implicit that the motion applies across the board, right? There's no names in the motion. It's very clear. It's just how the PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3A, right? And Nancy's got the wording there. The PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3A to mean there is no self-nomination for director position, but there is no prohibition for being considered as a write-in. That's the motion. It's pretty plain and simple. So, and that the thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take this and then we're going to send it to all the, all five LSB secretaries. God, I hope I know who they are. Send it to all five LSB secretaries to make it clear that they undertake the balloting appropriately so that we don't have, as Sagerton pointed out, you know, differences because different LSB secretaries, interpret things differently. So we need some consistency across the board and there we have it. So, all right. Let me see if there are any objections to Teresa's motion.
I object. I'd like to offer an alternate amendment. And my amendment would be that the bylaws actually allow self-nomination.
I'll second. This is Beth.
Point of information, doesn't that require bylaws change?
Yes.
No, it's just interpretation of what those words mean.
Just like 3 years or 2 years.
We've been doing like self-nominations for decades.
Okay, so McFadden made a motion to amend, and it was seconded, so the body owns it now. So I feel that we've discussed this enough. There's no – I can't fathom that anybody could possibly shed more light on this. So let's just go – are there any objections to McFadden's motion to amend?
Can you say it again?
Yes. That's horrible. You can't just change. That's an amendment to the bylaw.
Okay. So what McFadden's motion to amend is it says instead, the PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3A to allow self-nomination. Period.
Exactly.
Because there's no point in talking about writing candidates is if it's so. So hang on, stop. If there are, because I heard an objection to, the amendment, let's go to a roll call vote. Nancy.
Chair, can we get clearly defined yes and no? Sorry.
So the amendment is to change it to the PNB interprets Article 5, Section 3A to allow self-nomination for director position, right? I will paste that in the chat in just a second here. And so voting yes means you agree with the amendment. Voting no means you like the original better.
I beg your patience. That didn't help me all that much.
Okay. So I just pasted the amendment, in the chat, right? So it allows for self-nomination for the director position. So that makes the whole question about whether, it means Adriana's back on the ballot. She doesn't have to do a write-in. Ditto Myla, right? It means that it's as if the word other wasn't in the bylaws, okay? That's how we're interpreting the bylaws. It's as if, right, so any director can nominate any director. So a vote yes means you prefer that interpretation over the one that Teresa had first suggested.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right. Nancy, can you take the roll call vote?
Teresa Allen.
I say no to the amendment.
Allen votes no. Adriana Casanave.
Yes.
Casanave votes yes. James Dingman. Is he gone? Let's see. I don't see him.
No, but keep going.
Vanessa Dixon Griggs.
Abstain.
Dixon Briggs. Abstain. Ed Dodsworth.
I vote to support the bylaws, so I vote no.
Dodsworth votes no. William Foster.
Pass.
Foster passes. Grant Goodman.
No.
Goodman votes no. Sue Goodwin's not here. Heather Gray.
No.
Gray votes no. Donna Grimes is not here. Avalia Jones.
No.
Jones votes no. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Martinez votes no. McFadden.
Yes.
McFadden votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Pagano votes no. Myla Reason.
Reason votes no.
Reason votes no. Sean Rhodes.
Abstain.
Rhodes abstains. James Sagerton.
No.
Sagerton votes no. Ben Salon. Don't hear you. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Tanaka votes no. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Van Gunten votes yes. Egberto Willis is not. William Foster, you passed?
I'll vote no.
Okay. Foster votes no. James Dingman, I didn't hear you the first time. Is he gone?
I think that's just his phone.
There he is. Okay. James Dingman, you are muted. Okay.
He had two things up before, and I think one of them is for a phone and one of them is for a computer.
Okay. All right.
Wait, he just unmuted.
Oh, okay. James Dingman, do you vote?
We're voting on what? Just refresh my memory.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
On McFadden's amendment, which would have the motion say the PMB interprets Article 5, Section 3A to allow self-nomination for director position.
Oh, yeah, I'll vote yes for that. Yes.
Okay. Dingman votes yes. Okay. So the vote so far is 4 yes, 11 no, 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I forgot to come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I'll vote no.
Okay. I forgot to ask, Sharon Salam again.
Sharon?
I guess, yeah. Okay. Four yes, 11 no.
Isn't that 12 no now, Nancy?
Well, she's reading it before my vote.
I beg your pardon. Beg your pardon, okay. Nancy.
Yep. Four yes, 12 no, two abstentions.
And that includes my vote.
Includes the chair's.
Yep. Okay. So, the amendment fails. Okay. So now we're at the main motion. And I'm going to ask if there are any objections to the main motion. Hearing none, we'll consider the main motion passed. The main motion is amended, is not amended. Sorry. Okay. So that takes us to the motion to move into an executive session. Thank you, Fred. Is there a second? Thank you, Sagerton. Are there any objections to the motion to move into an executive session? Hearing none, we will move into executive session.